What if the experts are wrong?
The side effects for the Moderna vaccine sound concerning. We looked. After the second dose, at least 80% of participants experienced a systemic side effect, ranging from severe chills to fevers. So, are these vaccines safe?
Well, the FDA, not being pressured, will look hard at that. The FDA is the gold standard of regulators, and their current guidance on this, if they stick with that, is very, very appropriate. The side effects were not super severe. That is, it didn't cause permanent health problems for the things there. They, you know, Moderna did have to go with a fairly high dose, and so to get the antibodies. Some of the other vaccines are able to go with lower doses to get responses that are pretty high, including the J&J and the Pfizer. And so there's a lot of characteristics of these vaccines. It's great that we have multiple of them that are going out there. And yes, I think you know
the data better than I do. But the bill, the data showed that everybody with a high dose had a side effect.
Yeah, but some of that is not dramatic, where, you know, it's just, you know, super painful. But yes, there we need to make sure there's not severe side effects.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, December 28th, 2020. Thank you for being here today. We're going to go over some important stuff. As always, we're going to be talking about a very interesting discussion about data, about the facts coming from the NHS, and the headline you're seeing there is in regard to England. It's a journalist speaking on behalf of the data coming out of England and saying, well, wait a minute. According to them, only 377 people of the entirety of the situation are people who are under 60 who weren't, you could say, who didn't have comorbidities, or people who were healthy, or however you want to frame it. The point is that it's quite alarming to realize that. We'll go through it and show you the information for yourself. We're also going to talk about how apparently more people in Europe are resistant to this than in the United States. Doctors, scientists, nurses are just apparently just absolutely not, we're not taking this. To the point to where people are going, okay, well then we're going to put you on lists. We're there now. That's fantastic, right? But this is never going to happen, conspiracy theory. It's all pushing forward as we expected. Talking about immunity passports and how this is all building in around the same discussion as well. But in addition to all of that, a really alarming point where Biden's advisor is now urging for genomic surveillance, meaning you and your body, to keep you all safe, though, right? Just another extension of the exact same agenda, whether it was Trump or Biden, whoever else is in the position, the figurehead, the puppet seat, they're going to continue to drive forward the agenda, which has always been the case. We're going to get into that and a bunch more today, but we're also going to talk about, to start, something really quickly, and I will quickly jump over this, but I want people to understand that, yes, my video was just censored yesterday. Well, actually, no, I didn't mean to say it like that. My video was not censored, but I was censored yesterday by Twitter for posting a link that went to my website, which is this article, which then only says this and then links to videos. Okay, so they censored this. What is censorable about this? Well, because I say in the title that Nashville nurse claims COVID vaccine gave her Bell's palsy. Am I unallowed to point to somebody who's making a statement? Sort of how the media does on a regular basis in regard to anything anybody says from Syria that's regarding the white helmets. Like, it doesn't even matter. Just floating statement. Well, reportedly so. Or how about U.S. intelligence anonymous officials say, right? What's different about reporting what somebody has said? But no, it's censored. Twitter has censored this, pointing to this article here. Not even the video itself, because guess what? The video is still up on YouTube. as we'll check for the last moment just to make sure. Yep, about 7,000 views still going on YouTube right now. Hopefully you're not watching it there. Hopefully you're watching it on one of the 11 other platforms that it's currently on. But the point being that it was censored by Twitter because they don't want you talking about this. So this is not even about me saying this is true, this is fake, or here's what you should do, here's what you shouldn't do. I'm pointing to something that's clearly happening, which is being covered all over the place. Of course, we already have mainstream pointing to this and saying, here's why you shouldn't look at that. Isn't that the same thing? Aren't they covering it just from a different angle? Yes. They don't want you talking about certain things. Now, and even people talking about my website in general right now are being censored. It's very alarming. Now, this, by the way, has over 10,000 views on BitChute, which hopefully you'll check out. Here's what we got. Actually, well, technically, let's see, this would have been the one. Sorry, I forgot to get the original. Here's what I got. Your account has been locked 4 hours, which is really odd because there wasn't a time. The timing of it started once I opened this up, which I find really interesting. So I get locked yesterday and they have to wait for me to notice it before the timer starts, which seems to suggest that it's not about content or truth or making sure that everybody's safe, but it's about punishing me. It's about tapping me on the wrist and saying, no, 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 Ryan, that's not what you're supposed to do. Here's how you need to do it. So go ahead and take a timeout. And then once you have considered what you've done, you have to come back in and erase this for us. You have to do it yourself. We're going to hand you the eraser and you have to do it. Unless if you don't, well, we won't let you back in. This is what's happening now. This is the mommy daddy government telling me that I'm not allowed to say certain things. But as I said here, Twitter locked the account for 4 hours, then let me delete my posts linking to my own website. And you can see them right here. And I've checked these individually myself. These are just the Twitter shorthand links, which is actually what's there, by the way, not your link. They do that so you have to funnel them through Twitter. But this is a link to my website. And that's all it is, as well as the other ones, as well as the ones going to Odyssey or other outlets. But for some reason, even the YouTube link was censored. This is all it is. Not making claims about anything, just simply commenting on what's happening and simply pointing to the links themselves. But then once I did it, of course, and acknowledged, they say, okay, well, as long as you remove these things that we say violate the rules. The only problem is, it doesn't seem like it actually violates anything. Now I'm remembering that I didn't save. Let's see. Gosh darn it. I wanted to go over the Twitter rules. I don't want to waste all your time because I know a lot of you guys don't want to hear about this in general. But just let's make a point really quickly here that what they're saying is that these violated the Twitter rules and just rules, which is there's only about six of them, I believe, or seven of them. You can go through every single thing in those rules and you won't even find an abstract way that what I did with this video violates those rules. Not even close. Being able to discuss a current situation and what people are claiming and going over the possibilities, that's called journalism. That's called research. That's called being an aggregator of information. But they don't want people like us to have the ability to point to certain things that they want to keep off the radar. That's what this is really about. So I won't waste any more time on this, but I want people to understand that it's happening and it's not about truth or fake news or misinformation. It is about controlling the narrative and it's always been like that. This is why, this is what this individual said, why I had it up. He said, this is like being told to stand in the corner for 4 hours. Exactly. Exactly my thoughts. If this were about content and facts, they would not set a 4 hour timeout, which by the way, only started once I saw it, as I told you, but then they make you delete it. This is about training us how to act and think or trying to. That's what this is about. Important to understand that. So this information should be discussed, and I hope you'll take the time to read this and understand it or research it, because the discussion of the Nashville 5G bombing connection, which I'm not going to touch on today, is very clearly happening. They're even driving this forward even further and saying, oh, more fears that people might copycat this thing that we have nothing to verify. Nothing. Even the people they spoke to asking, did he say anything about 5G? The people who knew him said, no, he never mentioned it at all. He never mentioned, even suggested he was fearful of this stuff, which doesn't mean it's not there. But the point is that based on what we can see, there's nothing other than them wanting to drive this agenda, which would then justify a lot of other things. But we'll come back to that discussion as we go forward. But of course, Twitter won't allow you to post about it, talk about it, share it. As this is freezing up, I want to show you some of the people that are posting this content. Not sharing what I said or posting my rebuttal to Twitter, but just organically taking the Twitter link, or excuse me, the YouTube link or the website link and sharing it on Twitter and instantly having their account censored. How does that even make sense? Unless maybe they know these are people that follow me, which I guarantee they know that. Or the general concept of my website has been deemed fake news, which is what we're seeing with BitChute. You can't post a BitChute link on Twitter without it being deemed dangerous, which is ridiculous because it's not. Because I would argue it's the second most popular stream, not streaming, unfortunately. Damn, if BitChute would stream, I bet you they would win the game here. But the second most used video platform, in my opinion. At least the most reliable, the best, and the most reach other than YouTube. Come on, guys. Don't screw. This whole thing is freezing on me right now. I've been waiting for this to happen one of these days. It always seems to go away. But one of these times, it's just going to lock up and it won't let me continue. And that will be the end of the show. And I'm hoping that's not right now. But why don't I just... I'll just kind of ad-lib as we're waiting for this to unfreeze. But it's interesting. So I wasn't going to continue to go off on the Twitter aspect, but while this is freezing up, it's really interesting. We just talked with... There we go. Now it's stopping freezing. But I was going to talk about Spiro. I got to find out a solution to this because this is a constant issue. But, you know, I've heard plenty of other people discuss the reality that this is not something you can overcome when you're using a technocratic... You know, when you're living in the Google world that we live in. But going forward, what I was going to comment on was Spiro. Oh, for crying out loud. I apologize, guys. This is starting to really frustrate me. But here we go. But I was going to comment on Spiro and just let you remind you that Spiro is one of the other people that was just censored for literally asking the right questions and sharing content that you need to understand. Stuff that went viral, and not because it's fake. Maybe people might have taken that content and shared it and made misinformation about it, but is that Spiro's fault? It's not. That's ridiculous. That's as ridiculous as saying that anybody who shares information from the mainstream media in an improper way, that's the mainstream media's fault. And I would argue in some ways, you could argue that's what they wanted them to do, but that's an assumption. That's an opinion. Here's what Carrie Mack tried to share. Oh, exactly my links. And they wouldn't allow her to go back to her account unless she deleted it. That's the YouTube link, guys. She shared this directly from YouTube, which, by the way, is still live, and Twitter censored her for posting a YouTube link. Doesn't that mean they're implying that YouTube is doing something wrong? I mean, this is ridiculous. These are just, they're off the rails. Off the rails. And because she chose to remove the content, which is forcing us to self-censor, they allowed her to come back. And also just to point out that Twitter is apparently discontinuing their Periscope streams. Why? Because I argue they want to continue to funnel this down into a choke point where they can stop everything at any time. Having multiple streaming platforms around the world people can use, because Periscope is reasonably popular. And I get thousands of views on Periscope. They're streaming on Periscope right now. But they're going to delete it. Because all these things are one. That's the reality. The government, that's what we're staring at, because they've co-opted these things. So whether it's entirely or the control is there enough to make their agendas happen the way they want to. At the end of the day, we know as a matter of fact, the government is intertwined with these things, such as the Atlantic Council deciding what's not and what is and is not fake news on Facebook. I mean, these are state-controlled entities. That's why they want to remove the Section 230 concept, because that will just give more control in regard to the companies themselves to delete freely without any concern, because they're going to say, well, I have no more liability. So I'm going to delete this for whatever reason. Because once you give them that liability, the onus is on them. They have to that's the decision between being a platform and a publisher. But when you remove that, they have every excuse they need. It's going to be more censorship. Now, I'm not arguing that either situation is ideal, but they've driven us here, and that's what we have to understand. So it's time to fight back against this stuff, guys. Twitter is going to censor me. Twitter is going to censor Whitney and people like us that are continuing to tell you what's really going on. And not because we're sharing hypothetical theories that are completely... I mean, we're giving you facts, guys. Information that you can look at, and they don't want that to happen. And not information from some fringe location, but literally from the people they're telling us we should listen to. Think about how stupid that is. So now is the time to go to, you know, our websites. Go to the main places. Go to our websites. Go to subscribe. Subscribe to the pages. Make sure you're following the website. Make sure you're following the podcast, because this will go on and it will happen. It's time for us to realize that. Now, jumping into the beginning, this is a huge point, guys. And I don't want to oversell this and overhype this,
But this is one more of the major points here that I think any one of these points so far throughout this whole narrative should have brought this thing down to the down. It should have destroyed this narrative. I mean, I could list them off. I mean, you know, the PCR testing and all the gaining of the testing positivities themselves in regard to, I mean, on and on and on. And they've been caught lying time and time and time again. The people have been pushing us that we need to do things a certain way, get caught doing those things time and time and time again. But here we are. Here's one more point on top of all of these. A British journalist has been targeted, this is the article's framing, by an angry mob after pointing out that only a relatively small amount of healthy people have died from COVID-19. Now remember that we just talked about this not too long ago in regard to what the CDC said. And remember, we're talking about, this is a direct quote from this journalist in the UK in regard to England specifically. Right? England specifically, because there's variants there that people don't understand between the UK, Britain, and England. But it's England is what she's talking about. But remember that the CDC themselves also put out the number that said only 6% of people who have gotten COVID or died from COVID in the United States were people that had no other comorbidities. Healthy people. That's crazy. Now, you could argue that the healthy might not be the right word, because somebody could, let's say, have, you know, diabetes, and you could argue that doesn't mean they're unhealthy, but yeah, that's a little bit of an issue there, right? Because kind of does, in a way, but some of these things are things that you don't have any choice over, and so on, so I get the point, but there's plenty of things within that. But just as a general narrative, the idea is that people without any other issues are basically good to go here, and at the very least have about the same rate of, if not less, of danger than the flu. And the guys, this is not a contentious point anymore. This is the facts coming from the CDC, from the WHO, from the HHS, from all of them. The problem is they just don't like how we frame it. They say, oh, well, because all these people are dying. Okay, but we're not at risk, though, as individuals under 60 with no comorbidities. So how can you force us to lock down? How can you force us to wear a mask? Oh, because asymptomatic. But wait a minute, asymptomatic doesn't exist according to basically every study that's been done. The over 9 million people in regard to China have shown that there was basically zero asymptomatic spread. So at what point do we begin to go, okay, adding this all together, we're not in danger? And the Great Barrington Declaration, it becomes quite realistic to understand that it's about protecting the most vulnerable and elderly among us, instead of shoving them in rooms and letting them all die because we're worried about everybody else who's healthy, right? That's the opposite of what should have happened. But that's what happened in New York, at the very least, and a lot of other places. But she says, this is Julia Hartley Brewer, National Health Service. She said, using the NHS's own statistics, quote, and I have the documentation, just 377 people under 60 have died of COVID. That's not a typo. There's no missing zeros here. She further noted that pointing this out doesn't mean she's saying to hell with old and sick people. But yes, of course, because of the narrative and because of people with political motivations, and of course, just people that are stupid, they jumped down her throat and said, what about my mother? And oh my God, I'm over 70. Don't I count? Of course, she didn't even say that, but this is the manipulation, because they're driven this way by propagandists and manipulators. Before I even jump to this point, here is the actual link. I've included this in the show notes. I don't know if you can see this when I click on it, but it's a downloadable link. Oh, actually, there we go. I think they updated it. That's good. So I'm going to include this as well. And I think these are the downloads. Regardless, make sure I don't lose that. Hold on. There we go. Perfect. It had a downloadable link when I first started it. It downloaded directly to my website or to my computer. I'll include both just in case, so we have all the data. But again, this is stuff you can look at for yourself. Here's the actual downloadable version that I had before this popped up, which was, make sure I got the right one, right here. So you can see this is information. It gives you all the breakdowns. This specifically is of ethnicity, but you can go to gender and so on and so on. It's basically a large, you know, organization of all the information that they have. So point being, it's easy to look up for yourself, and I hope you'll take the time to do this for yourself. But if you take a look at the total number of deaths in the UK, we're talking, I believe, if this wants to unfreeze anytime today, we're talking about 71,000. Now, I don't believe they have it just for England. So just the UK in general, we're talking about 71,000. So less than that to the most part, but we're talking about that in regard to 377 people. So let's just call it 60,000. Let's call it 50,000. 377 people out of 50,000 deaths does not really sound like a big something that we should be locking healthy people down for. But then, of course, people want to, okay, what about the rest of them? Again, now, nobody's arguing that's not important. The argument she's making is, why are we shutting healthy people down if that's what's really happening? Paul points out the number of these COVID-related deaths, the same thing she's pointing out, giving you the source for you to check out for yourself. Okay, here, this was the one I was looking at before. Here's the downloadable. I don't know if you can see that or not. Okay, now the point is, she's saying, it's sad, but we have locked down an entire country for a virus that mostly kills the very old and the very sick. The rest of us should be free to decide our own risks. Okay, can anybody explain, point out to me where she suggested that they're not important, that because of this very clear fact that's backed up by their own government's information, that somehow means that those people don't matter, or that she's saying that we shouldn't care about them? I mean, in any way, is that even close to what's being said? We all, a child could see that's not what's happening. But here's what happened anyway. Here's what James has to say. And please feel free to come on and give James your what you feel about this. Julia Hartley Brewer wants to be free to decide that my wife's life isn't worth as much as someone else's. What? I mean, James, are you blind? Or I don't understand how in the world, oh, that's right, because you're politically motivated. That's my opinion. I just don't, either you are in a, either you're literally in some kind of fantasy world seeing something we're not, or you're bending this so it suits your agendas. He's a journalist, a commentator, or, probably. You guys can make up your own opinions. But the point is that this is not even close to what she suggested. She simply said that because it's only elderly and people with comorbidities that seem to be affected, if we're not elderly and not have, we don't have comorbidities, well, shouldn't we be able to decide for ourselves? Yes. But he's saying that means that you don't care about my wife's life. Because I guess in some backward mental gymnastics way, he's saying because you want to not do what you're told, that is going to make my wife in danger? That's quite a stretch. Of course, understand the facts don't actually back that up. But facts don't matter to these people, these trust the science screamers that don't actually trust the science. There are several possible reasons for this position. Oh, so now he's going to guess at her mindset. That seems intelligent. But the simplest one is that she is actually just a bad person. Wow. Wow. Now we're just ad hominem attacks. I mean, this guy is just a straw man trifecta. This is ridiculous. But this is what we're seeing. Guys, this is endless. She was actually trending on Twitter because people were attacking her for stating the facts. And again, what she first said, I mean, I'm not even going to go back because every tab I move to, it seems to freeze on me right now. And now I don't really have that much stuff up today, far less than usual. I'm not really sure why, but we'll give it a minute. But her original tweet was painfully clear. Here's what it says, 377. So if you're not in that category, you should be able to choose. Where does that suggest that elderly people don't matter? Where does that suggest that your wife is less important? I mean, that's just stupid, either or wildly deceptive. And as she says, these people are either totally disingenuous or willfully stupid. It's hard to decide which sometimes. This may be both. It sounds like something I would say. And it's just spot on. It's sort of embarrassing that we can even be here. But here's what Richard said, what I learned today. This person, he's talking about Julia, thinks that at 62, I'm very old and expendable. What? How in the world are they? They are listening to somebody who said she said this, right? That's intelligent journalism today, or intelligent, quote, research, blindly regurgitating what you were told about what somebody said. How about you just read what she said? How about you be an adult and look at what's being stated? He says, I don't think so, Julia, nor do about 9 million others at the age of 60. And she said, no, you didn't in regard to saying what he learned. My parents are in the late 70s and they're not expendable either, but the country shouldn't be locked down to protect them. Yes. Locking down healthy people across the country does not protect elderly people that we can very easily protect in the locations from in which they're in. I mean, it's silly. Like, especially, look, even if you believe in all the measures they're taking, what if we just said anybody over 60 with comorbidities has to wear a mask, lockdown, and social distance? I don't agree with that either. My point is that that makes a hell of a lot more sense than every single person in the country. And the only reason that's justified is by the illusion of the asymptomatic, the lie. They know the same things that I do. They've seen all the studies, and they're still pushing it for your safety, though. That's the argument. Well, just better safe than sorry, but the danger has already been shown to not be there. So you can't keep pushing that. You can't keep saying it's for your safety and then destroy our entire lives under the guise that you're keeping us safe. That's just stupid. That's what this is real. This is like remedial. And here's what she said, and I love this. She said, just woken to find I'm trending. Apparently the lockdown fanatic, FBPE, rainbow crowd, I forget what that stands for. She was saying something about the lockdown rainbow crowd have decided to be even more willfully stupid than usual. I'm off to enjoy breakfast in the sunshine before snorkeling with turtles in this gorgeous bay. Have a nice day, everyone. Good for you. Says, look, this is, I can't believe this. I really hope you guys take the time after the show to actually say what you want to say to each one of these people. Says the woman who presented data, which A, cut out anyone with a known health condition. Wait, did she create the data? Wait, that was her work? Oh no, it's from the NHS that she just pointed to. So Dan, you're quite intelligent. B, threw to the wolves anyone 60 or over for her mil. Wait, how did she throw to the wolves anybody by pointing to statistics? C, forget she is but 8 years away from her death. What? And when did she say that people over that age are just expendable and should die? She simply said they're most at risk and the data supports that. I mean, God, this is like painful. And this is what I say feels like our job is lately, to just spoon feed people the most basic concepts of thinking. I mean, am I crazy or is this just literally insane? These people are either lying to everybody or, you know, maybe three things. I mean, lying because they want to lie, towing the political line because that's all they know, or they're just too dumb to understand what they're looking at. But if I don't see how anybody can say something like this based on this tweet. Don't freeze on me. There we go. This is the tweet they're referring to, and that's the one they're pointing to. I mean, you can go through and read all her other comments. None of them say this. And even says right here, and this is the direct follow-up that they're just ignoring, apparently. And for the heart of understanding virtue signalers, she said virtual, it meant virtue, that doesn't mean, quote, to hell with the old and sick. It means the Great Barrington Declaration was and is correct. Help the millions of old and sick to shield while allowing the young and healthy and our economy to carry on living. God, crazy conspiracy theory, right? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, this is not even to touch on the concept of the illusion that's taking place, the PCR false positives, the blending of other illnesses, the intentional inflation of what we're looking at. That's why you can point, we'll get to it in a minute, but look at places like Sweden and see that they're living their lives normally and there's not people keeling over in the streets, but they will, oh my God, look at all the death numbers and all these numbers. Well, yeah, there's an easy way to explain why that's happening, yet you don't seem to notice it when you just look at the country and just look at people at the beaches and the restaurants and they must all be silently dying in their room somewhere. This is ridiculous. I mean, this is not to suggest that there's not something. I'm beginning to believe otherwise, but the point is that it is not what they're saying it is. And all of the data backs that up at this point. So realize as she's saying the exact thing that this doesn't mean this, that these people just, again, are either that stupid or just in choosing to ignore it and regurgitate what the whole narrative is, that anybody saying this, it's a bad person, it doesn't care about my grandma. I guarantee you probably heard that on Fox News or CNN. It's incredible. But the main point is that only 377 people under 60, or excuse me, only 377 healthy people under 60 have died of COVID in England. That's unbelievable to me. And here we are. And remember the Swiss Policy Research article. Let's see if I can get it to pop up here. I believe that was it. Hopefully it doesn't freeze. Yeah, this is the one. Swiss Policy Research, why COVID-19 is a strange pandemic. The point being, Why does COVID-19 appear to be a somewhat strange pandemic? Well, it's because COVID-19 mortality profile is almost identical to natural mortality. And of course, they go on to very clearly point out why 2009 was a fake pandemic, because it didn't really happen. And it's still pointing to it as a success right now, by the way. Same with this. I mean, this is a great one for you to read. I did a whole show on this, by the way. But if COVID-19's mortality aligns basically exactly with current normal mortality, doesn't that mean that you're really at no more risk? Yes, that's what it means. Now, people will pretend here's why you have to bend this way and squint your eyes and now all the danger's there. It's just not the case. 377 healthy people under 60. Normal mortality is what you're looking at right there. Within reason. Even if it was slightly more dangerous for people over, the point is you cannot lock down the entire country or countries at large for this thing. You just cannot do it. They're doing it anyway. Here's what Hugh says. Is this man the biggest fool on Twitter? Someone makes the point only 377 health workers, working age people have died, and he says we are not a fascist state. But 60 million people are locked in their homes and peaceful demonstrators are arrested. Feels quite fascist. Here's what he says. The below is wrong at several levels. He's tweeting to Paul's statement about the tweet for the 377. In England and Wales, 65,000 age 65 plus have died with it, plus over 7,400 working age people. The point is these are people that are over 60 with comorbidities. Many had prior medical conditions. That's exactly what they're saying. But we don't hold their lives to be valueless because Britain isn't a fascist state. Where did anybody say they weren't as valuable? I don't understand how this is being insinuated, how this is being inferred, rather. Where are you getting this from? He says the number of related deaths are this. This is for the period. He didn't even give an opinion. This is an obvious psychological operation. If we're seeing such clear, they're arguing against what they want you to think is the narrative. Not what this guy's actually saying. Can you not see that? How obviously clear that is? So we have to realize what that really means. That this is what they're trying to sell you. That's it. The narrative. That if you say anything in any way that suggests that this is not the worst pandemic in our lifetimes, then you just don't care about grandmas. Then you're a bad person, as that guy said. It's pathetic because it's really, really stupid and obvious. But there are people that are allowing it to happen. If you're one of those people, but you know it's wrong, stand up. For crying out loud, find the courage to do what you know is right. If you've ever needed a better opportunity, I don't even know how there could have been. This is the end all be all right now. You have lost everything. Like, we gotta stop pretending like this is not the serious thing that it is. We have lost everything. People out there don't have jobs. They can barely feed their families. They don't have an income. How in the world did we allow it to get here and pretend like this is nobody's fault but some phantom thing, despite the evidence? Unbelievable. But don't forget, though, we're already being told that employers, they can just require you to get the vaccine, though. Just gonna force you to do it. Based on something that's actually not really. And so that makes you, that should make you wonder why. Why, if we're not actually in that much danger, according to their statistics, are we going to be forced to take something that's wildly experimental, that was not tested properly and was rushed out, that they've never successfully done before? Why? It's a good question that we need to ask ourselves. But we know that they've been lying about these numbers. They've been gaming these numbers. They've been manipulating these numbers. And this is not a secret. They just claim, lying is the wrong word, right? They give you a justification for why they're including pneumonia and influenza with the COVID death numbers, even though I argue the vast majority of Americans do not know that's happening. They'll just give you an explanation. And all the people that want to believe them will go, didn't you hear them? That's why. It doesn't matter why. Does anybody argue that it's the right thing to include all the deaths from pneumonia and all the deaths from flu in with COVID and pretend like it's because COVID is causing all the things that were already there before this? I showed you 100 times over I always do this and then I can't not show it. Just because this is a really important, impactful point for people. I mean, look, it's even gone down. It's gone down since last time we looked at it. Everything on the map is in the minimal territory, if not very low. There's not even a very low. Every single state in this country is in minimal or insufficient data. How does that even take place? Okay, for those that don't know what I'm getting at, here's the point. This is what this map, and this is only influenza. That's what this map is saying. Or technically influenza, like illness activity. But that, you know, which is really weird when you think about it, because that should include COVID-19, influenza-like illness. But here's what they're saying, that it basically is not happening right now. Do you want to see what it looked like last year at this time? Let's take a look. For those that already saw this, bear with me. It's important for people to recognize this. Look at that. That's where we were last year. And that was actually very severe, which is why I argue there was something circulating in this country that was spread before this. If, you know, whether you believe that or not, it's something to consider. That's just my opinion based on the facts, but it's my opinion. Because if you go back a year before this, it was not as severe. But you find years that are very bad. But nonetheless, the real point is, how can it be this? I mean, look, can you go around this on either direction? Weeks and weeks and weeks. And you'll it's severe, right? Back to where we were right here. Here is right now. Anybody? Anybody want to ask how that's possible? How we can have... Look at all these weeks. Look at this, guys. That's not possible compared to what we had last year. This goes, look, this is only back in October, November, December. What? Let's go back in the same time. Here's December. Here's November. That doesn't make sense, guys. These numbers are being included, and it's not even a secret. Here is the mortality for this discussion. It says right here, PIC, which is pneumonia, influenza, and COVID-19 mortality. And this is what they're showing people to say, look at how far we are above previous mortality. Okay, but you're including two other illnesses with this. How does that justify the fear? Most people don't know this. It's posted right there. And you can see it just in case people don't believe me, which is fair. You shouldn't trust anybody blindly. It says right here, percentage of deaths attributed to pneumonia, influenza, or COVID-19. That's it. Indicating that the current increase in mortality is due to primary to COVID-19, not influenza. But then pneumonia? Okay, we won't talk about that. But this is just their statement. And are we going to believe that it doesn't exist now? So fine, you can say that it's caused by COVID-19. What about the naturally occurring flu that happens every single year? Don't worry, though. They're still going to force flu shots on everybody. Or pressure everybody. So they have been manipulating the numbers. And here's PJ Media pointing out that it's long past time the CDC and the NCHS clean up the COVID death counts. That's to suggest that it's somehow just a erring on the side of caution scenario, but it's really not. It's a control mechanism, in my opinion, and they would have done it a long time ago if that's where we were. A report from the Freedom Foundation, a Washington state think tank, explains why the foundation's original analysis of death in the state found the number may have been inflated by as much as 13%. This is one of the first ones speaking up and saying, wait a minute, the numbers you're claiming are inflated by as much as 13%, but you're restricting people's rights and locking people down. This is in May. A report released by the Freedom Foundation revealed that DOH was attributing to COVID-19 every death in which the deceased previously tested positive for the virus. And we reported on all this. I don't know how that's allowable, and then using that to arrest people and force them to wear masks and so on. However, it's clear that catching the disease and dying of it are two very different matters. Washington's data was riddled with cases, as much as 13% of the total, in which the death certificate made no reference of COVID-19 as the cause of death. Can you think about that for a minute? So they're pointing to it that the most obvious 13% of these didn't even reference COVID-19. Why were they included as COVID-19 deaths? Sure, 13%, that's a lot. I could venture a guess, but to understand, we're talking about the country. 13% of these is a lot. There's no way that was just a casual misfiling. This is an effort to inflate the numbers. That's exactly what that is. In several cases, even gunshot deaths were chalked up to the virus. Does anybody pretend that that's an honest thing? That's the same thing they do with cannabis numbers, with kratom numbers, and pretend, oh, he died from kratom, except he had a gunshot wound to the chest. Ben Swan covered that. That's not a joke. The FDA tried to sell you deaths that were, they said, were caused by kratom, and they found some that were so ridiculous, such as a gunshot wound to the chest, and said, oh, well, the kratom killed him. That's who we're dealing with. These are captured agencies. It says, while the Department of Health did remove 200 deaths from the count, oh, how nice of them. Which, by the way, is a quiet admission that they messed up, but nobody talked about that. Good job, media. The Freedom Foundation did another analysis, combining data sources from the Department of Health for nearly 2,000 deaths as of early September. The new analysis found that 170 death certificates did not even mention COVID-19. This is on the second time. So they removed deaths after they said, yeah, you're right, you got us, those weren't true. And then they found more. Another 171 deaths had no casual connection to the virus. According to the Postmillennial, the group estimates Washington's death count could be as inflated as 20%. Interesting. New data from the CDC regarding the conditions contributing to the deaths where COVID-19 is also involved clearly demonstrates deaths from the virus are overestimated nationwide. But sure, lock people down and control their, you know, and give governments uncontrollable power to do whatever they want based on their, I mean, let's pretend like that was just a casual, you know, what do I say, a quirky coincidence, right? That they took actions that led directly to their benefit and great amount of resources and control and power. Just a happy coincidence. This is not surprising given the loose guidelines for attributing a death to COVID-19 and the financial incentives through public and private insurance to put COVID on the patient's chart. Again, things that were barely talked about that Jensen basically ruined his career to tell us about. And now it's just a passing discussion point. How disgusting is that? There's no way we can argue that having a profit motive to write that on the death certificate is not an obvious way to game the numbers. It says these pull forward deaths, which is what we're talking about, often happen with influenza and pneumonia. What do you know? When a person is elderly or severely compromised. For example, the data shows that 3,622 people over the age of 75 died of hypertension, renal disease, with kidney failure. Kidney failure is a progressive and terminal condition, even with kidney dialysis. In addition, so the point is they died from something way serious. They died from kidney failure, and they're claiming that was COVID-19. Why? Because, well, we don't know that doesn't cause it. That's not scientific, and that's not what doctors will say. But that's what that one doctor tried to say on the media in regard to a motorcycle accident months after he had recovered. Think about how stupid that is. And all he has to say is, well, we don't know it didn't cause the accident. Well, good. Then you can just attribute every death in the world to COVID because, well, we don't know it wasn't. No doctor would say that. But they sure as hell put that doctor on the news. Kidney failure. 3,622 people. Second, the report demonstrates most younger patients were also suffering from a different severe illness if they died from COVID-19. On the same line for kidney failure, a total of 18 people under the age of 35 passed away with this condition and COVID-19. 10 people under the age of 35 died with acute lymphoblastic lymphoma, or ALL, in addition to the virus. On average, the average five-year survival rate in this age group is between 68% and 85%, leaving the distinct possibility that these were the sickest ALL patients. It just seems like they're picking out the things they can use to inflate the numbers. It says there are just a few examples of terminal conditions that could have been examples of a pull-forward death. Mix it up for a second. Now it says New York, for example, backdated 3,700 presumed COVID-19 deaths early in the pandemic. So just decided, and we remember this, we talked about it, just decided to go ahead and add these and say, well, those were COVID. And it says the above does not even include the broad class of ICD-9 codes referred to as intentional and unintentional injury, such as poisoning and other adverse events. This report contains, guess what, 9,343 deaths associated with everything from drug overdoses to traumatic accidents and suicides. These deaths alone equal 3% of the current number of total deaths. Imagine how many more there are if we actually dove into it. Almost 10,000 deaths associated with things like drug overdose. But we're going to pretend that was COVID-19. Must have messed up his brain. He didn't know how much he was taking. Got to be COVID-19. That's what they're actually not saying, but insinuating. That, well, the suicide, you know, could have been mental problems. And that's why they're floating the idea that COVID will cause mental problems. Because they want to be able to just arbitrarily deem whatever they want to deem. It says it is long past time for the CDC and the NCHS to require some evidence of a severe illness from COVID-19 rather than simply a positive test. Yeah, you think? You think it's about time for that? 8, 9, 10 months in, based on something that is wildly prone to false positives, it says the best test would be a viral culture. When we know this, that's why they're not doing it. If the virus or viral debris in a patient's system cannot replicate in a culture, it can't be the cause of death. Do you know how long ago we could have figured that out? Sort of how when they before never wanted to do the vax versus unvax kind of thing. It's because they knew what they would find, guys. That's my opinion. But you're telling me we can't do a viral culture right now to figure it out? Why isn't anybody pointing that out? A positive PCR test with 28 days, the current standard Washington is now using. That's it. Within 28 days, and if you die, COVID-19 is also unacceptable, especially with the number of asymptomatic cases. Now, this is PJ Media pointing this, right? We know, based on these studies that have been coming out since then, that apparently asymptomatic is not really there. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it means that it's not the driver of what this is. And even the mainstream has now said that. But the point he's saying is that even, you know, the idea that the gold standard in any regard, whether it's asymptomatic or just generally, is dangerous because it's not what we should be doing because it doesn't address all the potential problems. That's what they meant. A virus that never makes you sick or only makes you mildly ill will not kill you or likely contribute to your death. Exactly. It says, rather, you are likely one of the 30 to 60% of people with reactive immunity from other coronavirus exposure. So you're telling me that 60% of people potentially in this country already have reactive immunity from cold viruses or previous coronavirus exposure, and this is stated directly cited to the mainstream sources, cited to the CDC, cited to the, what? Don't forget that point. Let's just even say 30%. So 30% of people already have some form of immunity from previous things. That's been cited in the media from the beginning of this for reasons of why you might get false positives. Remember that? But let's consider that with the vaccine. Why, if you already have immunity, why if 30, if 60% have immunity, why do we need vaccines? I mean, 60% was already the low number that Fauci stated for herd immunity. If that's almost already there, I mean, guys, you get the point. This is a selective, this is selective data, right? One day it's one thing because they want to sell you on this. The next day Fauci lies because he wants to sell you on that. You need to take it upon yourself. That's never been more clear. Likewise, if someone already suffers from terminal illness, unless the end stage events include symptoms of severe COVID-19, it should not be counted among the causes of death. That's a no-brainer. But that's not what's happening. A scroll through the spreadsheet and a bit of clinical knowledge supports the estimate that the Freedom Foundation is as a minimum number, right? The 20% or 13 before that as being a minimum number, meaning it's almost, I guarantee it's higher than that. That's my opinion. It is a dereliction of duty, they say, for the CDC and the NCHS not to tailor their guidelines to the disease progression of a COVID-19 infection capable of contributing to a person's death. Why wouldn't they? Because they're gaming the numbers. And what is that doing for them? It's giving them control. It's time to wake up, ladies and gentlemen. It's never been more obvious this is where we are. Now, remember, as Whitney pointed out before, the flawed models stem back to Imperial College and specifically Niels Ferguson. Again, for the second time. And even more than that, he's been wrong like 5 or 6 times, catastrophically. And yet they continue to use and point to him to drive us into fear. Gee, that's probably his job, it seems. This is a discredited individual who wildly got it wrong. And now they bring him back to go on the news after this and say that this is the case, that this new strain is more dangerous and 70% more transmissible. Well, no, the data didn't back that up. And including the fact that their own team here actually decided that they shouldn't take action. I'm trying to skim and see if I can find it really quickly. But the point is that they all collected and voted and they said, well, we don't have enough evidence. We don't know what's really going on here. And Niels Ferguson is the one who went on the news. Yeah, it says right here, notably, while most NERVTAC members opposed the sort of immediate action that Johnson announced following their meeting, right? So the team, the group, that's what the abbreviation is NERVTAC, that's collected in order to vote on this. The majority of them said, no, we shouldn't do anything because there's not enough evidence here. And they chose to ignore their experts' opinions and go with the guy who got it wrong before. Ferguson appeared on the BBC the day of NERVTAC's meeting and claimed the UK needed to go into another lockdown and said, we're all in danger. And they listened to him. And guess what? He was wrong again, because it's very clearly being shown that the new strain is really not any more dangerous than anything else, if it's even there at all. But does this not show you the decision-making process? If there's even that, if that even exists, they're choosing to go with what scares you, to go with what gives them more control. Why is that surprising to anybody? We've been here before. That's the frustrating part, that we just keep banging our heads against the brick wall. But what we need to realize is they've been wrong in this whole process a lot. I mean, in every possible way. We've continued to show through this process how they continue to get these things wrong. 12 times this says the lockdowns were wrong, and it's more than that in my opinion. But it says this has been a year of astonishing policy failure. We are surrounded by devastation conceived by cheer and cheered by intellectuals and their political handmaidens. The error, and this is from the American Institute for Economic Research, the error numbers in the thousands. So please consider the following little more than a first draft, a mere guide to what will surely be unearthed in the coming months and years. And I think it already is. We trusted these people with our lives and liberties. I don't know. Some did. I didn't. And here is what they did with that trust. Anthony Fauci says lockdowns are not possible. Now, understand this. He's making a point here. I've seen that website argue things that we've been discussing. So what they're saying here is simply that he said one thing and then said something else later. Not necessarily they're arguing that lockdowns should have happened. What it says is when asked about the mass quarantine containment efforts underway in Wuhan, China, back in January, Fauci dismissed the prospect of lockdowns ever coming to the United States. And of course, made the idea that, you know, we're a free country and that'll never happen here, even though it literally ended up happening. But he said then less than 2 months later, 43 of 50 U.S. states were on lockdown. A policy advocated by Fauci himself. Now, that doesn't mean you can't change your opinion. But as you go through this, you'll begin to see that it's not really about that. It's about saying, don't wear a mask, and then saying, well, I lied because of this. Or saying, herd immunity needs this amount, and then saying, well, I lied about it for this. It doesn't matter why these people are admitting to deceiving you for their own agendas. Even if you agree that agenda's right, or you think it's good, or you believe in him, it doesn't change the fact that he's lying to you to achieve his agenda. Crazy. But it says, going forward, U.S. government and WHO officials advise against masks, which we saw. And this, again, it's not that we should, but the idea that they said one thing and then switched it, and not on, based on any new science. It says, in the early weeks of the pandemic, numerous government officials and WHO officials took to the airwaves to describe masks as ineffective and discourage their use, pointing to science at the time, remember. Surgeon General Jerome Adams tweeted against masks on February 29th. Fauci publicly discouraged him in that clip that we've all seen, which he admitted he was lying, which I don't think. I think he was being honest then, and the lie is what they needed to sell later. But it says by midsummer, all had reversed course and encouraged mask wearing in the general public as an essential tool for halting the pandemic. Fauci essentially conceded that he lied to the public in order to prevent a shortage of masks. Right, a righteous lie. Good times. Whereas other health officials did an about-face in science claims on the science claims around the masking. Now it says this is important because this is the truth backed up by the facts, while mainstream epidemiology literature stressed the ambiguous nature of evidence surrounding masks. That's a kind way to say that. As recently as 2019, and in fact, in 2020, from the CDC, and then another one from one they commissioned, which they didn't show you because it came to the opposite conclusion they wanted to show you, but of course I showed it to you. These scientists were suddenly certain that masks were something of a magic bullet for COVID. It turns out that both positions are likely wrong. They are wrong. Masks appear to have marginal effects at diminishing spread, especially in high infectious settings and around the vulnerable. Exactly why they say they should be used. Funny how that works. But their effectiveness at combating COVID has also been grossly exaggerated, as illustrated by the fact, and this is the point to take away, right? Before I even say it, realize, guys, that this is the idea, that this is not about an opinion. This is a fact. Mask adoption reached near universal levels in the United States by the summer, with little discernible effect on the course of the pandemic. Now, you can give your own opinion. Well, it's because this, or there were people that didn't listen. The point is, guys, that it happened more than it had ever before, and it got way, way worse in that exact time frame. And you can, in fact, show, as Dell Bigtree has, that these places that enforce these mask mandates saw spikes afterward in almost every case, just like the lockdowns. Why? Because it's driving illness. Bacterial pneumonia, and on and on and on, as other doctors have said. I'm not a doctor. I've cited numerous doctors who say that they're seeing a rapid increase in bacterial pneumonia. And guess what masks cause in regard to cloth masks? And for all the people that are, oh, go, Ryan's stating things he's not backing up. I have to show it every time. The only random control trial that I'll ever find until I do another one, and anybody wants to send it to me, in regard to specifically cloth masks, finds exactly what I just said. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in an increased risk of infection. Rate of influenza-like illness, which includes COVID-19, or just infections in general, statistically significantly higher in the cloth mask arm. Statistically higher rates of influenza-like illness compared with the control arm. The analysis showed that that influenza-like illness and laboratory-confirmed virus were significantly higher in the cloth mask arm. And of course, that penetration, and we're talking droplets here, in regard to cloth mask was almost 97%. See, they try to trick you into thinking, they want you to picture big globs of spit floating or falling to the ground. That's not what's happening. Droplets are tiny in regard to the human eye. They don't have to be. Of course, you can see a big drop of spit fly out. But the point is, in a general sense, penetration of these cloth masks by the kind of size that they're talking about, because it's in this it's in the documentation, 97%. No, that's not even talking about under 0.3 microns, which is the virus we're talking about, or aerosolized particulates, which is the vast majority of how this spreads, according to all the scientists that are honestly talking about this topic. But medical masks, even in addition to that, which are supposed to be far better, 44%. This is according to the NIH and the National Library of Medicine. But, you know, and actually this is the British Medical Journal as well. Crazy. Utterly crazy. Where were we? So when they tell you that you have to wear the cloth mask, rather that that's the one you should, and the CDC pushed that like crazy, and then you see a dramatic spike in, and guess what? Bacterial pneumonia, it's contagious. And guess what the symptoms look like? Exactly like COVID-19. Isn't that funny? So I'm not saying that that's everything, but the point is I can guarantee you it's happening. And I can guarantee you that's causing a spike in what they say is COVID-19. And whether that's because they just point and say, well, that guy looks like he has it and deem it COVID-19, which we've seen, or they give him a test that has a very high prevalence of false positives. And then that combined with the symptoms, they go, well, that's COVID-19 then. Just like what happened in the epidemic that wasn't in 2007 with whooping cough, where it never even happened. 8 months it went on and it was all the PCR test, as they've admitted themselves. They even say, well, it's going to become a bigger problem unless we do something about it. And they did do something about it. They decided to use it. Anthony Fauci's decimal error. This is one that nobody talks about in estimating COVID's fatality rates. I did a show on this, but this is a huge deal. Nobody, the media didn't even come near it. Fauci testified before Congress in early March, where he was asked to estimate the severity of the disease in comparison to influenza. His testimony that COVID was 10 times more lethal, which is, by the way, what drove all of this, as I said, stoked widespread alarm and provided the major impetus for the decision to go on lockdown. The problem, as Ronald Brown documented in an Epidemiological Journal article, is that Fauci based his estimates on a conflation of the infection fatality rate and the case fatality rate. Now, I'm not going to get into those again because I find it slightly confusing, but the point is that one is more severe and one is more specific. The infection fatality rate is in regard to people who have verifiably, or, you know, it's supposed to be verifiably, but they're talking about PCR, have the infection COVID-19 and die and potentially die, right? I maybe even actually ones that do die, in fact. Yeah, that's the case. I'm sorry, I want to correct that. It is, because that's the point. Infection fatality rate is when you die and have a verified infection. Case fatality rate is way more loose. And why do you think he decided to conflate those two things? Well, because it led to exactly where we are now. That's my opinion. But take note of how every decision, especially the ones where they, quote, made mistakes, all seem to err on the side of, we're in more danger, this is more severe than it is, give us more power. But he says, leading him to exaggerate the comparative danger of COVID by an order of magnitude. A whole decimal, right? In fact, a gigantic leap in how dangerous it is. Nobody ever circled back and said, oh, by the way, he was wildly incorrect and it's way less dangerous. Never happened. Convinced Congress of the need for drastic lockdown measures while also spreading panic in the media and the general public. That's what happened. As of the writing of this article, which, remember, is December 26th, Dr. Fauci has not acknowledged the magnitude of his error, nor has the journal conceded his article. Corrected. Do you not realize how crazy that is and how that shows you that either that's the intention, that they did that on purpose, or that they know they're using it so they don't want to change it? That's a huge mistake. I mean, really, that's like saying it's 10% instead of, it's 100% instead of 10%. That's crazy. So what's happening here is that they know they made this mistake. They quietly admitted that, not Fauci, but then refused to actually stand up and say, I was wrong. And in fact, keep the journal that says that without correcting it right now. How do you see that any other way? That would be a huge correction that needed to be had. I mean, they want people to continue to to read that and think it's still correct. That's crazy. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Of course, 2 weeks came and went. Then the rationale on which we were sold shifted. Hospitals were no longer on the verge of being overwhelmed. Indeed, most hospitals nationwide remained well under capacity, with only a tiny number of exceptions in the worst hit neighborhoods of New York City. Now think about that in comparison to where we are now, where the same round of fear-mongering mainstream media is coming around again. Uh-oh, hospitals are getting overwhelmed. And it's all an illusion based on the way they want you to see this. And I'm not saying that hospitals aren't getting overwhelmed. I don't know that as a matter of fact. But I can tell you that all it takes to do that is the things they did last time, such as funneling them into specific areas, shutting down other ones, making sure that only certain areas were open, or on and on and on. Or testing a lot of people and recommending they go to the hospital, which overwhelms these areas, even though they're not really as sick as they should be. And then, of course, they intubate these people that are only mildly ill and then drive them into the ground, which is what 90% of what happened, according to Dr. Riedel and all many others. I just talked about this. They just admitted that is absolutely the wrong thing, but they're still doing it. Going forward, number five, Niels Ferguson predicts the best case U.S. scenario of 1.1 million deaths. Sure, right. Understand that what he's talking about was based on incorrect information. Now, we understand on top of that, that they're doing everything in their power to make that number come true, even if it's an illusion, such as combining flu and pneumonia, such as using a PCR test and saying car crashes are COVID-19. Very real things that are not fake news. Now, the name Niels Ferguson, as it says, the lead modeler and chief spokesman for Imperial College, the models they used, has become synonymous with lockdown alarmism for a good reason, because they were wildly wrong. Ferguson has a long track record, as I just showed you, of making grossly exaggerated predictions and of catastrophic death tolls for almost every single disease that comes along, and urging aggressive policy responses to the same, including lockdowns. How can he be wrong every time, and yet he's still used as the centerpiece? Because you're being fooled, guys. Because this is an agenda, and he's their talking head. He's the stand-in expert that's supposed to be fear-mongering and pushing it forward. You can't. There's no other situation in the world where somebody can have a job and they fail at it over and over and over and over, and they're still pointed to as an expert, and they're still given. They're raised up above everybody else, including the rest of the team that said he was wrong, and they still went with what he said, despite him being wrong every time before this. That's a choice. That's a conscious choice to go with what gives them more power. As it says, COVID was no different. Ferguson assumed center stage when he released a highly influential model of this virus death forecast for the US and the UK, which he was wildly wrong about. And remember, as I just said, he was just wrong again. And yet again, they went with just what he had to say. Number six, researchers in Sweden used the Imperial College model to predict 95,000 deaths. But early June, when the 96,000 prediction was supposed to come true, Sweden had recorded 4,600 deaths. 6 months later, only 8,000. Now, that's not to suggest that 8,000 deaths is a good thing, guys. The point is that it's not what we're being told. You don't just get to, you know, cause panic without context about numbers. The idea is that we need to understand what's really happening and how many normally die and so on. Scientists suggest that ocean spray spreads COVID. Gosh, this was so stupid. It says in the second week of the lockdowns, and the point of this is to realize this is something that they said, that they spread, that they used, and that they actually that pointed to carry out unjust policy, or rather just, you know, mandates. So think about that now, and understand they were wrong. This is really stupid and flagrantly unscientific. But because it caused people to be fearful, because it gave them justifications to lock down beaches and drive everybody inside, they used it. It's wrong. It's wrong. We're totally wrong looking back. But yet we're not allowed to ask whether what's happening right now is wrong. Fake news. Can't talk about it. In the second week of the lockdown, several newspapers in California promoted a bizarre theory. Basically, sea spray could help spread COVID-19 because it trickles down your drains and ends up in the ocean, and then the ocean wind picks it up and it sprays it, and then everyone gets sick. That's not a joke. That's literally what your mainstream media was spreading. That's outlined in Los Angeles Times. And it says, That stupid theory, says Silly, it helped to inform California's initially draconian enforcement lockdowns. It says the same week as this modern-day miasmic drift theory appeared, police in Malibu even arrested a lone paddleboarder. We talked about this. Why? For going into the ocean during the lockdown. All while citing the possibility, literally, that the ocean could carry COVID-19. Mindless enforcement. It's just stupid. Neil Ferguson predicts catastrophic death tolls in the U.S. that states that reopen. So here they went to him again. This is the third time he's been pointed to and been wrong during COVID-19 alone, and they're still using him. If they reopened, according to the Imperial College's team, their models, New York could face up to 3,000 deaths per day by July. Now, Florida could hit as high as 4,000 and California could hit 5,000 deaths daily. Keeping in mind that these projections were for each state alone. They exceeded the daily death toll peaks for the entire country in both the fall and the spring. Showing just how bad the imperial model was, the actual death toll by mid-July in several of the examined states even fell below the lower confidence boundary of its projected count. But don't worry, though. They'll keep using Neil Ferguson to continue to keep you fearful and suggest that you're all going to die right when they need it most. Anthony Fauci credits lockdowns for beating the virus in Europe. This is one of the stupidest ones. The message was clear. The United States should have followed Europe. Don't forget, this is before he said we wouldn't do this because we're not like that, then decided to do it, and now saying we should have done it better. It's just so dumb. We can't remember back before like a week ago in this country. The United States should have followed Europe, but failed to do so and got a summer wave of COVID instead. So it's your fault. As always, it's on you. It's your fault for not doing what you were told. Fauci's entire argument, however, was based on a string of falsehoods and errors. Mobility data, meaning they're tracking you. And don't forget that, guys. That they know. Everywhere, your phones, you're being tracked right now. All of us. That's never been a secret, but now we just need to realize how viscerally it's happening. They're using your data, mobility data, they're using your social media data, and they're already using this, as you'll see in a minute, to track people who they think aren't what they should be or people that aren't doing what they should. We're already, like right now, they're talking about using the social media information of who they claim is the bomber in Nashville to basically decide whether he's a 5G conspiracy theorist, because that's the only thing they're driving toward right now, based on the fact that apparently nobody else ever said he was even considering it, but different discussion. Mobility data, mobility data from the U.S. clearly shows that most Americans were staying home during the spring outbreak. Just eerie to think, scary to think about that they're, yeah, we can tell. We need to look at your phone data. You're right in your house. Good. You realize how crazy that is? And how they screamed us down for saying it was happening up until they were forced to verify it because we're conspiracy theorists, which they said, and we were right. Isn't that funny? Yeah, real macabre funny. Why don't we realize it now? That's what I want to scream. It's happening again, guys. Time to wake up and see that they're doing it again, and then they're doing it again, and they're doing it again, and they're going to do it tomorrow every time until we finally realize what they really are. But your data from your phone showed that you were not doing what you shouldn't be, for the most part, that most Americans were staying home, with a recorded decline that matched Germany, the Netherlands, and several other European countries. So is Fauci lying, or does he not know this basic information? Either one is equally alarming. Contrary to Fauci's claim, the U.S. was actually slower than most of Europe to reopen. So he's just saying what he wants you to think is the reality, because just like he did with masks, just like he did with the herd immunity, because he wants to trick you into doing what he thinks is right. Even if you think he believes what he's saying, or believes what he's saying is the right thing to do, he's still lying to you, as he's admitted twice, possibly three times here. Furthermore, his praise of Europe collapsed in the early fall when almost all of the lockdown countries in Europe experienced severe second waves, just like the lockdown regions of the United States. Oh, what do you know? Even though they locked down and had strict mask mandates, they still had spikes. Oh, I guess it's only because of those few people that were not doing what they were told. But wait, you said, but they were all social distancing and had masks and locking down. How did it catch them then? Doesn't make sense. It's always going to be your fault. It's always going to be because of the fringe group that didn't do what they were told. So they can go after that fringe group that they've always been trying to go after. And it turns out that fringe group is the people that are the last vestige, the last, what do you want to call it? The last stronghold of anybody trying to show you the truth. And all they're going to try to do is step on them and tell you they're putting you in danger. There's some other points I'm going to skip here, just the New Zealand or, you know, Australia one. But I recommend you look at these for yourself. Renewed lockdowns are just a straw man. This is actually really interesting. In early October, a group of scientists met at the American Institute for Economic Research, where they drafted and signed the Great Barrington Declaration, which is a really important document that basically goes over the reality of what we're talking about today, that the what we should be doing is addressing the elderly and the people that are at most risk and letting people make their own decisions otherwise. Now, it says nobody was considering bringing back lockdowns from the spring, they insisted. Right? So they released this that says we shouldn't go back on lockdown. The entirety of our government says, what are you talking about? We're not going to go back on lockdowns. And they pushed back against it. The Great Barrington authors were actually told they were arguing with a straw man from the past. Right? So this is what happened. They said, no, we're not going to go on lockdowns. Why are you even making that argument? You guys are making something out of nothing. The message was clear. The Great Barrington Declaration was sounding a false alarm against policies from the past that the lockdowners reluctantly supported in the spring as an emergency measure, but had no invention of reviving. But by early November, the straw man of renewed lockdowns became a reality in dozens of countries across the globe, often cheered on by the very same people who used the straw man canard in October. So the very same people that attacked them and said, you're crazy, you conspiracy theorist, we're not going to go back to doing that. And then they went back to doing that. And in fact, cheered it on. This is the best part. They started claiming that they had supported a lockdown all along because people don't care about facts today. And they began blaming the Great Barrington Declaration for, in fact, impeding their efforts to impose them at an earlier date. Okay, so they're saying it was because of you that we weren't able to lock down sooner. Do you realize how easy it is to look and just quickly go back and see that they were saying it was a straw man argument? And then a month later, we're saying your argument was why we couldn't do this sooner. And all of the lockdowners, all the vaccine gospel people out there are going to scream that they're right because they don't look for anything else. Their job is to blindly trust the narrative. And if these people say they were wrong, well, they were wrong because they said. All you have to do is think for yourself and go back a month and say, look, they did say that. He's lying. It's crazy. It says, in short, the entire lockdowns are a straw man narrative was simply false. And it now appears that more than a few of the scientists who used that lie were actively lying about their own intentions in October. Do you realize how many of these there are? This is just 12 of them. But people, you can line these up next to each other and this whole damn thing is a lie after lie, after sidestep, after manipulation, after everything. Oh, it just never ends. And all they do is point to us and say, you're making things up, as we point to stats and facts. Number 12, Anthony Fauci touts New York as a model for COVID. New York, right? That aged well, didn't it? New York has also fared poorly during the fall second wave, despite reimposing harsh restrictions and regional lockdowns. Oh, yeah, that's right. Knockdown measures. Now it says, all things considered, New York's weathering of the pandemic is an exemplar of what not to do. We know that. I mean, that's one of the worst locations on the planet. In fact, when you really break it down, that's what this article points out as well. Now it says, we know that when you do it properly, this is Fauci speaking on the 20th of July, you bring down those cases. We have done it. We've done it in New York. Really? Fauci was operating under the assumption, which is what scientists do, that New York, despite its bad run in the spring, had successfully brought the pandemic under control through its aggressive lockdowns and slow reopening. One might think that the fall rebound in New York, despite locking down again, exactly the point, that despite doing this, despite massive mass compliance, they had a spike right in that time frame, which seems to suggest that those things aren't what they say they are, which is the case. Despite locking down again. He would call this conclusion into question. It says, not so much for Dr. Fauci, who told the Wall Street Journal on December 8th, right? After this massive resurgence or whatever you want to call it, testing with PCRs and an illusion, whatever, you know, the whole point, using their narrative as we always do. New York got hit really badly in the beginning, but they did, quote, a really good job of keeping things down. And still their level is low compared to the rest of the country. That at the time was flagrantly false, which is why they're pointing to it. But here we are, where we're just listening to these people, happily gobbling up whatever they want to cite, despite how many times they've continued to get it wrong. Now, talking about Sweden in general, the Daily Mail is reporting that Sweden's iconoclast public health expert's been sidelined, or has he? Anders Tegnell is pushed off the airwaves amid a split within governments as countries' coronavirus deaths continue to rise. Now, this is the point I want to make in regard to how they're framing this stuff. And I find inspiration in how it seems, at least for now, that Sweden is holding on to its policy, which seems to be correct, regardless of what you want to look at on a graph. Guys, this is not how you look at it. What you do is you look at the country. You look at the fact that people are living their lives. They're not complaining. Like, do you realize if this was a massive pandemic and people were suffering and their country government was hiding it, people in Sweden would be speaking out. People in Sweden would be going, we're all in danger and they're hiding everything. That's not what they're doing. Sweden is laughing at the rest of the world. Sweden and people like in St. Petersburg, they're pointing to the rest of us and saying, look at how dumb they are. I mean, they're even saying, yeah, we do think something's happening, but we're addressing it with people who are actually in danger, like the elderly. They're allowing us as free individuals to make our own decisions. Crazy, right? It's almost like they live in a free democracy over there, which I'm saying that as a, you know, facetious point. I don't even believe democracy is what that just represented, but this is what our government says. We're a democracy and all this, even though we're technically supposed to be a constitutional republic, but, you know, who cares about facts? The point is that Sweden is not in a bad way right now. Basic and easy to look. I've shown you clips of it from days before. They're walking around, going to beaches, going to restaurants, going to concerts. And by the way, the same thing's happening in Wuhan. Pool parties with no mask, nothing, just doing their thing. How does that make sense? How is that even possible in a world where they say this is a worldwide global pandemic that we've never seen in a century? How does that even make sense? The answer is it doesn't. Now, I'm not saying I know the exact answer. My opinion is that it's not as severe as they say it is. But the point is what they're saying can't be true if that's happening. Unless you have some massive biomedical wall built all around Sweden. There's no way that's the case. Even especially when they're saying that they currently have cases. So people are walking around doing their thing and it's not wildly burning down the whole country. Well, that pretty much shows you they're lying. Now, it says the health experts behind Sweden's no lockdown COVID-19 strategy appears to have been pushed off the airwaves amid a split within the government as the country's number of coronavirus deaths continue to rise. Well, remember, though, deaths based on what we just went over, because they're doing the same thing there, because there are people within this government that are actively driving for what the rest of the world is doing. Please destroy our economy, right? That's literally what they're saying. But we know PCR test is causing a high prevalence of false positives. We know they're combining flu and pneumonia. We know all of these things. So that is an easy way to continue to rise death numbers if you continue to push more testing and push more manipulation of the numbers. And then, of course, you add to that any other scenario that might add, that might increase situations like that. If people are choosing to lock down or choosing to wear masks, I argue that is increasing the thing. There is that happening. There are people there that are choosing to do that because they're given the option. Now, it says Swedish Prime Minister Stefan Löfven's press conference overran on Thursday, clashing with that of Anders Tegnell, the architect of the country's liberal approach to the outbreak. It says it follows Sweden admitting that it has seen no signs of herd immunity slowing the spread of COVID-19 as the number of new infections soared. Now, there's two things to point out here. Two very important things. Now, I don't want to forget. Let me get that camera back on. There we go. I don't want to forget to come back. I just want to switch it up a little bit today, but scream at me in the chat if I forget to go back to the page. But there's two very important things here with this main point. Sweden admitting, as they're saying, that it has no signs of herd immunity. One, we're talking about herd immunity in the sense of something that, like, if let's just say, if we're talking about a virus that arguably hasn't been isolated, they never met Koch's postulates to prove this was, in fact, what we were dealing with. If you're not finding signs of herd immunity after people have been dealing with this, does that not seem to suggest that we may not be dealing with what we think we are? Certainly one of the possibilities, wouldn't you say? What if this is a massive rise in bacterial pneumonia or any other scenario you could swing in? You would spread that and you wouldn't see herd immunity develop, especially because you're looking for it in something that's not there. But the point is, that is a possible signal of this not being what we think it is, right? But saying that they have seen no signs of herd immunity also seems to suggest that this might not even be there at all. In any sense, these are not things that I can prove or things that these are things that we are considering. But it's interesting. No signs of herd immunity, they say. But we're also dealing with, remember, tests that I think are arguably quite what's the right word, uncertain. I don't think they're the right test for this process. And I think that Carrie Mullis, I know he said the same thing. Yes, he was, at the time he was alive, it was generally in regard to HIV, but he didn't even say HIV. He was specifically talking about viruses. And of course, he openly spoke out about why Fauci didn't know what he was doing, but that's a different discussion. I recommend you watch Derek Brose's recent PCR documentary because it's fantastic. But it's interesting to think about. Now, it says in total, 6,622 people with COVID-19 have died in the country. A per capita total vastly higher than neighbors Norway, Denmark, and Finland, which opted for stricter lockdowns during the spring, but lower than a handful of larger European nations. So they're finding ways to compare it with things that make it seem like it's larger, but ultimately it's just statistics. What matters is what's happening on the ground. It's not happening there. Now, you could argue any number of reasons why these numbers are there. Maybe that's just the normal death rate. I don't know. I don't think it is. I'm just giving you possible scenarios. Or we know that the death numbers are being manipulated. Or inflated is a better way to put it. We know that they're adding on things that aren't necessarily included with what we would argue would be COVID-19. But in any case, regardless, we can see that what they're dealing with on the ground is not representative of the way they're trying to make this look. Period. Whether you're talking about the obvious manipulations of the numbers or not. But then you can also see the cases. Which, by the way, remember that when the death spike in the beginning, we were told, was up. It was all about the deaths. And then when it started to slow down from July all the way until October, it was all about the cases. That seemed like honest reporting to you. And now it's all about the deaths again. Because they think they have a number to point to. Right? How do you switch the reporting? And, you know, they're not synonymous with each other. You don't just get to switch from one to the other like it's the same thing. But that is what the media is doing right now. They breathlessly reported every single case from July to October as if we should be fearful. But remember, if it was from July to October, what happened to this 2-week period? What happened to all the cases that were, all the deaths that were supposed to be caused by the cases they were reporting? Didn't happen. Now, suddenly, all of a sudden in November, we got this big spike. Why? Because we're driving the numbers with 100 different things. It says, by some counts, we've now got exactly the same level of spread of the virus that we had in the spring. And that's about as clear a refutation of tag-nail strategy as you could wish for. Right? But what does that mean? If this thing is spreading and people aren't actually being affected by it in the way that we're saying they are, that only people over 60 with comorbidities are dying in the hospital, that is not a refutation of anything. That is, in fact, I would argue, proof of what they did was the right thing, because they did not destroy everybody's jobs in the entire country. They did not destroy the entire economy. They don't have people waiting in food lines to feed their family because they don't have income. I mean, I can't even fathom how that makes sense, that is a more likely situation. Look at how they are in Sweden right now. They're living their lives. At the very least, it should be the choice of an individual. But it says, despite the rising numbers and increasing criticism, Dr. Tegnell said on November 13th, Sweden remains steadfast in its approach to the pandemic. You know why? Because he knows that he's right. Because he can see it. Because he can listen to the people in his country who agree with him. But because of the rest of the world sees this as a challenge to their obvious control mechanism, they flip out and try to make Sweden the bad guy. You know how long they've been trying to sell this narrative? The problem is, if this guy goes away, they'll probably go exactly in line. And remember that this is exactly what we talked about with people like in Belarus, where they're trying to bribe them with lots and lots of money from the IMF and different places to do what the rest of the world is doing, right? Here's $10 million to go, or it's way more than that probably. You know, here's millions and millions of dollars to sell out your country, to sell out the interest of the individuals. That's what it is. And Belarus is being threatened with that right now. In fact, they included within the, I mean, believe this or not, but this is so crazy. Within the stimulus package for COVID-19, they included discussions of Belarus and how their election was illegitimate. Does anybody wonder why that's in there? Does that even make sense? Is it even remotely related to COVID-19? Most of it's not. Literally, the vast majority of it has nothing to do with COVID-19. $600 million going to fight China and Russia while we get, I mean, I think it's now 2,000, because guess what? They voted and made it 2,000. That was the whole point, guys. The whole point was to act like they've got a win for us. 2,000 is pennies. It's crumbs as they're giving billions around the world to foreign countries. Billions to Israel, billions to Egypt, billions to these foreign countries for nothing other than, you know, Pakistan gender studies. But sure, 2,000 for you. We did it. We'll see how long that lasts. as I jump off my point and completely lose my train of thought. But let's get back on this because it's going to get, the show will get abstractly way longer than I want it to. But I hope that this continues. I hope he's staying strong. And I do believe they're going to, the point was in regard to Belarus because they're bribing him. And they put that inside the document to say, look, this election is illegitimate. Why? Because he refused to take their bribe. Because he openly spoke out and said, here, IMF's trying to pay me 10 times what they normally do as long as I do what they want for COVID. He's like, but I'm not going to dance to their tune. Because you know why? His what he's done there has worked. And because people are pointing to it and say, look, why aren't they struggling? Does that make sense why they'd reach out and say, what, you're doing great. Here, lock everybody down and destroy the economy because that's what you need to do. We'll pay you to do it. It's just so clear. If you just think and look and ask questions, it's right in front of you guys. And the reason that we can see that this is an illusion on regard to the vaccine itself in so many ways, but here's a big one, is because most people, including hospital staff, are refusing to take this thing. Right? So based on illusion of numbers, where they're gaming every aspect of it, they're trying to keep you scared enough to take this vaccine, which remember, they're trying to tell you that they're saying, yeah, you know, if you have a job and you've got employees, you can go ahead and force them to do it. Which is, by the way, wildly illegal and wildly unconstitutional and violates just about every damn thing you can think of, informed consent and so on. Doesn't matter. They're going to do it. They're going to put the onus on companies so the government with the feckless government can push it on somebody else so they don't have to be responsible for forcing you to do it. Like in the past where they tested on you and forced people to do it and they're held responsible or not. But at least historically speaking, we can look back and say it was our government that did it. This is just a way to sidestep it a little more, in my opinion. It says it's not just growing U.S. mistrust in the COVID injection effort that was rolled out in record time. An unexpected spike in allergic reactions to the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, and now Moderna's too, by the way, may prove catastrophic to the widespread acceptance unless scientists can figure out what is causing the side effects after the FDA's rushed approval, and is also why, as we reported yesterday with Zero Hedge, scientists are scrambling to identify the potential culprit causing the allergic reactions. Now, I want to make a quick point, actually, before I move on this, because I keep forgetting to say it. Somebody else just said this to me, too, and I've said this in the past. These are not side effects. These are effects. If you make something and it has effects, those are just effects. They're not side effects. You don't get to deem what you don't like of it side effects and the rest the good effect. It's all effects. And so the argument is these vaccines cause headaches and vomiting and injury in your arm and potentially Bell's palsy and all kinds of different things. They cause them. Those are effects of this vaccine. So let's ignore this. This is just more ways they kind of propagandize and manipulate the information so they can pretend like it's just a passing thing. That's not guaranteed. I can promise you that there will be things that go on forever in people because it happens every single time in normal processes, but now we're rushing it. And every time we've rushed it in the past, we've had catastrophic problems. 2009 with narcolepsy and all kinds of different issues based on what they now call the pandemic that wasn't, that didn't happen. They lied about it. They manipulated the numbers just like is happening now. And it's 1976. As I've shown you the video 100 times, the head of the CDC squirming in front of the camera as he gets called out for having zero verifiable cases and yet forcing a vaccine on people, including the military, and at the last minute swapping out a vaccine that they knew would cause problems. That's all facts. Everything is documented. And yet here we are pretending like we can just trust him again. It really is it's insanity. It's just insanity. Now, it says, where was I? It also says, making matters worse, Europe rolled out a huge COVID-19 vaccination drive on Sunday to try to rein in the coronavirus pandemic, but even more Europeans than Americans are skeptical about the speed at which the vaccines have been tested and approved and reluctant to have the shot. Now, guys, this is what's really crazy, is they're saying, look, these are fake news anti-vaxxers, anti-science, right? This is what they're saying. These are nurses. These are doctors. These are people that are saying, look, I don't trust that this has been tested properly. And the point to take away from that is probably the most valid concern of anything happening right now. But yet the media at large has been told that any, even the slightest question of this thing is to be shot down, questioned, attacked, ridiculed, made fun of. There's never been a more visceral and obvious time to see that the media is not here for you. They're here to sell the agenda of the powerful. And that's what it's always been. And right now, it's just they're showing their hand because this is important to them. So they're pushing this. As even doctors and scientists are questioning the validity of all of this, and all they do is censor the doctors, and they disparage the scientists, and pretend that we're crazy conspiracy theorists. Anti-science, as we point to the science. It says, I don't think there's a vaccine in history that has been tested so quickly. This is speaking as he's stepping out of his church, and these are just individuals in Europe. It says, I'm not saying vaccination shouldn't be taking place, but I'm not going to test an unverified vaccine on my children or myself. Exactly. And they want you to think that you're stupid, that you're crazy if you think that. That you should be one of these people that are rushing forward to be the first one to be tested. And by the way, that's happening. I wasn't even going to talk about this today, but there is actually a human test happening where they're actually infecting people, not like with the vaccine trial, but they're actually infecting people after they get the vaccine with specific way where they're trying to, in the midst of all this, create some more data to make it look like this thing is not dangerous and effective. But in the meantime, they're infecting young, innocent people with God knows what. But yeah, let's keep, we're testing on everybody for our safety. And that's what these people are actually saying. These kids are saying, well, it's obviously we can't have this thing infecting everybody else. And we're doing this for the good of everybody. As I think it was up here. It's just sad, you know, to see these young kids and they have been convinced by people that they think they can trust that they're doing this for the good of everybody. You're guinea pigs. Just like has happened in the past, you're being tested on for the benefit of powerful people. They don't care about you. And it's just really sad that they didn't have parents that were smart enough to train them otherwise, to show them that they should not trust authority. And what's funny is that's even considered like a negative thing to say. Why is it a good thing to blindly trust authority? How about you trust individual and you go by a case-by-case basis? How about that? And you trust people based on what they show you and what they act and how they say and how they, any number of characteristics, instead of just saying, well, he's got a white lab coat, you should trust him. And me saying not trusting authority is actually framed as something negative today. That used to be intelligence to question what you're told. It's very sad how a bunch of sycophants have become the shining example of what we should be like today. But here's what he says. It's smart. Why take the risk of getting vaccinated when others will do it, resulting in the same outcome? Interesting thought, right? Because this is the argument that, well, if enough people get it, well, they will have herd immunity. But yet, if that's the case, why are they desperate to force the other people to get it? It's the same reason with the vaccines of the flu where they say, well, if you don't get it, you're putting everybody at risk. But didn't you just, you know, if most Americans are getting it, that defies the logic that they're selling. But it's never been there because that's not really what's going on. This, I argue, is a way that seems to suggest that they want us to not reach what they say, this, you know, herd immunity concept, so they can then essentially force it or at least control who doesn't. It says surveys in Poland, where distrust in public institutions runs deep, shows that fewer than 40% of people plan to get vaccinated. Worse, according to Reuters, or better, on Sunday, only half of the medical staff in Warsaw Hospital, where the country's first shot was administered, had signed up. So not even the medical staff are wanting to get this. And if the doctors can't trust the vaccine, one can be certain that the broader population will refuse to take it. Exactly. We're talking about the people that know this information and they're not taking it, but they must be crazy. So go ahead and censor them, Twitter, because you don't like what they're saying, which is literally happening right now. Every day I see a new doctor that's getting censored on YouTube and Twitter just for stating their medically valid opinion. Doesn't mean it's always right, but they have a right to express their medical opinions because they earned that right. 28-year-old singer and music composer in Germany surmises the skepticism of a broad range of the population and plans to wait for now. I forget why I highlighted that. This is his quote. No one close to me. Good God. I don't know why I can't read today. No one close to me has had it. I'm obviously not saying it doesn't exist because lots of people have died from it. But see, that's a fallacy, by the way. I'm just going to say I don't know for sure one way or the other. That's a fallacy. We do not know that, as a matter of fact. We're being told that. And then we also have a lot of reasons to very clearly show, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that these a lot of these deaths are being gamed and manipulated and inflated and added when they shouldn't be there. So just to say it's obviously there because of it, this is not necessarily true. But it's up to you to decide for yourself. He says, but for now, I wouldn't have the vaccine. A Christian Orthodox bishop in Bulgaria, where 45% of the people have said they would not get a shot, and 40% plan to wait and see if a negative side effect appears, which too late, already happened, meaning that only 15% of the population will actually volunteer for the vaccine in the near future. The establishment is pounding the table, I like the expression, because it's very, you could see that, on why vaccines are safe. Like, they're so just, you need to take this thing because it's safe. That's not, you know, that doesn't show you it's safe. Screaming something doesn't instill confidence. That shows you that they're desperate. Even though not even the scientists can explain what is behind the spike in vaccine. And by the way, that's not true. It's the PEG, right? It is the proteins, as well as these dangerous isotopes, as well as all the other things we've already told you about that, yes, are causing exactly what they warned would happen, right? That's what's so incredible to me, that they actually said, this is going to happen. You should be concerned about this. We warned you about this. And now they're going, gee, we don't even know what's happening. We're baffled by this.
I can condemn the politicization of your health, the politicization and the commoditization of the American citizens' health. Pennsylvania citizens' health is not a commodity. It is neither a monetary commodity, nor is it a political commodity. And shame on you if you have changed your position or held on to a position in the light of evidence from data, from studies that tell you that your position is wrong simply because you disagree with President Trump. Shame on you. You're hurting people. You're hurting society. You're destroying businesses. Shame on you. Now that I got that out, I can talk about some science. Okay. Historically, vaccines for coronaviruses have had a terrible safety record. There is a condition known as disease enhancement due to pathogenic priming. And this was discovered in vaccinated animals in past vaccine safety studies. When they did conduct vaccine safety studies on animals on coronavirus vaccines, where vaccinated animals got more serious disease after being vaccinated, and then when they acquired an infection from the wild-type vaccine, more of animals got serious infections, serious conditions, and more animals died. In my peer-reviewed research paid for the citizens of the United States of America through donations to IPAC, prior to the development of any COVID vaccines, I found that all but one of the proteins in the SARS-CoV-2 virus have what we call unsafe epitopes, right? Which are parts of proteins that are capable of causing immune conditions, autoimmune conditions, and immune responses against proteins in our own body. This is peer-reviewed research, and I'll be happy to provide the press with reference after this. About a third of the proteins that might be targeted by autoimmune conditions by SARS-CoV-2 viral proteins, either through infection or injection, target the immune system. But from the start, it looks like this virus has evolved the ability to attack our immune system as part of its disease-causing capacity. This pathogenic priming, I predicted in my study, which parts of the human body would likely be most affected by pathogenic priming. And now studies by medical physicians, by medical teams around the world, are confirming my predictions. This is not simply a respiratory virus with respiratory symptoms. This affects many tissues across the body, and there's some grave concern if you're going to get infected. But where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed my study with a plea to please consider taking out those unsafe epitopes. Your body has 500,000 peptides throughout your life. The coronavirus has something like 28 proteins. What's the probability that there's going to be many proteins that match at small segments of immunogenic epitopes? Very high. We now have results from front-runner vaccines from these hybrid trials where they skipped over the animals trials. FDA in it absolutely ignoring safety margin, in a stunning decision, decided to allow Moderna and other vaccine manufacturers to skip the most important step in vaccine safety for coronavirus, which is the animal trials, to see if there's pathogenic priming, to see if this particular vaccine or that particular vaccine might cause serious problems through pathogenic priming. It's unbelievable that the FDA made this decision. And, you know, we made this specific recommendation that they do that in my study that I published. All right? Now what they're doing is they even said, well, we don't have to do phase one human trials and phase two human trials separate. We're going to combine them together because this is such a horrible epidemic. We need to get the science done fast. They're missing out on another opportunity to find safety signals, but they found them anyway. At the beginning of this time period where I'm speaking, I said to remember the percentage 21%. The only single data point, the datum that we have on what percentage of patients, exposed human patients exposed to a coronavirus vaccine have had serious adverse events is from the Moderna trial, and that number is 21%. 21% of people are having serious adverse events from this vaccine in that trial. The other ones haven't published their data yet to the point where we can understand that.
I really would want to play that whole thing. There's so much important stuff there. But I really just want you to understand the concept of the pathogenic priming, the reality this has been stated and been warned about long before we were here. But of course, just don't understand. They can't explain why this is a thing that he warned about and documented and told them about. Can't explain why that's happening, you know, which is what they always do. Quote, we'll look back on the advances made in 2020 and say, quote, that was a moment when science really did make a leap forward, said Jeremy Farrar, director of the Oxford University Clinical Research Unit, which, of course, is also backed by the Wellcome Trust. nothing important there. Oxford also received, don't worry about it, can forget it after I say it, $750 million from Bill Gates in June in the billionaire's quest to vaccinate the world against COVID. But that, of course, doesn't influence why he would say that this is a positive thing no matter what. Of course not. Only problem, quote, no, or not quote, but nobody in Europe seems to care about the scientific justifications. I wonder why. I wonder maybe it's because those scientific justifications rarely seem to pan out or seem to come from people who are funded to say so. You know, that doesn't mean, that is not to undercut or, you know, disparage the concept of science. This isn't science, though. What I'm saying is the way that they misrepresent information is what I'm saying isn't science. Right? The way that they trot people out who are paid to say certain things and sell you on why this is the best thing that's ever come around. Best thing since sliced bread. No side effects. Don't worry about it. No effects that are no bad effects. That's not science. They're doing that because there's an agenda. And when you find out that people are funded by the two things that are directly tied to what's happening, well, gee, why would they trot that person out? That's why nobody's buying this stuff. Survey suggested that fewer than one in five in Bulgarians from the first group to be offered the vaccine, medics, pharmacists, teachers, nursing staff, less than one in five wanted to get the shot. You know, the people that we would deem the heroes and the experts. I wonder if they're still heroes when they don't agree with the narrative. Funny how that works, right? If it says an IPSOS survey of 15 countries published on November 5th showed that 54% of French people would have a COVID vaccine if it were possible, so half the country saying no, 64% in Italy and Spain, so at least a third for the most part of Spain and Italy are saying no, 79% in Britain, 87% in China. It's funny how 87% of people in China would be willing to, but who knows if that's just a fake number coming from the Chinese government. Since then, things have gone far worse. And a more recent IFOP poll showed that only 41% of people in France would take the shot. This means that a vast majority will not. Not even in Sweden, where public trust in authority is absurdly and inexplicably high, is there a universal trust in the vaccine, with at least one in three saying they won't get the shot. Quote, if someone gave me 10 million euro, I wouldn't take it. It's just crazy how we watch the experts tell us that we shouldn't take this, and then they scream at us that the experts say that this is safe. It's funny. What that shows you is that they decide which ones are, quote, experts. They choose that. On and on and on, we continue to see these allergic reactions and the problems continue. And no matter how many times they try to scream at us that this is normal, it's not normal. If this was normal, we would hear about this every day from every vaccine that's given. We don't. This is not normal. This is rushed, it's dangerous, and it's unverified. And they are going to continue to push it because there's an agenda, just like they have countless times before. Screaming that it's completely safe, that you're not in danger, this is best for everybody, and then turning out that they lied, didn't test it, didn't care, and pushed it on people for plenty of other agendas. That's not a secret. I've played these things, and I've showed these things over and over. And now to go back to what I played in the beginning, this is supposedly the leading face of this whole thing, driving it, funding every aspect of it, apparently. And here he is, seeming to squirm and fiddle and you know, worm around when simply asked whether these vaccines were safe. This is his answer, which, by the way, he never actually answers.
The side effects for the Moderna vaccine sound concerning. We looked. After the second dose, at least 80% of participants experienced a systemic side effect, ranging from severe chills to fevers. So, are these vaccines safe?
Well, the FDA, not being pressured, will look hard at that. The FDA is the gold standard of regulators, and their current guidance on this, if they stick with that, is very, very appropriate.
So far, this is ridiculous. Very, very, very basic question, but I don't miss the important part there. The FDA, if they're not being pressured, right? I love that little throwaway. If they're not being, what does that mean? So literally what he just suggested is if they're being pressured, they might not do that. Like, I mean, that's basic language, guys. He just said if the FDA is pressured, they might not test it properly. There's really no way to misunderstand what he just said. Let's just play it again.
Sound concerning. We looked. After the second dose, at least 80% of participants experienced a systemic side effect, ranging from severe chills to fevers. So, are these vaccines safe?
Well, the FDA, not being pressured, will look hard at that. The FDA is the gold standard of regulators. And their current guidance on this, if they stick with that, is very, very appropriate. And, you know, the side effects were not super severe. That is, it didn't cause permanent health problems for the things that are, they, you know.
He was going to say for everyone, implying that there were some, but recognized that he just was like, well, I don't want to say that. I don't want to admit that there's anything wrong with this. He didn't even finish a sentence. He just goes, referred to blah, 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 and just kind of trails off. I mean, this is disgusting. This is flagrant. He knows they're not safe. I mean, are they safe? And then he goes off for a 32-minute just explanation about why the FDA will do what they can if they're not pressured, meaning that they may not. It's crazy.
With that is very, very appropriate. And you know, the side effects were not super severe. That is, it didn't cause permanent health problems for the things that are, they, you know, Moderna did have to go with a fairly high dose. And so you know, to get the antibodies.
Still has not actually answered the question. And even she is staring at him like, okay, very basic question.
To get the antibodies, some of the other vaccines are going able to go with lower doses to get responses that are pretty high, including the J&J and the Pfizer. And so there's a lot of characteristics of these vaccines. It's great that we have multiple of them.
Yeah, somebody made a great point in the chat. I didn't even pick up on this the first time. What is super severe? Right? That's not a medical term. Oh, shocker. He's not a doctor, not a scientist, not even that smart, in my opinion. But we're talking about a super severe side effect. Can anybody categorize that for me? We have severe, which includes death. So I guess super severe is just something outside this world. I mean, the point is he's trying, it's not super severe. This is a bending over backwards effort to try to squirm out of saying, yeah, it looks pretty dangerous.
responses that are pretty high, including the J&J and the Pfizer. And so there's a lot of characteristics of these vaccines. It's great that we have multiple of them that are going out there. And yes,
you know the data better than I do. But the data showed that everybody with a high dose had a side effect.
Yeah, but some of that is not dramatic, where, you know, it's just, you know, super painful. But yes, there.
It's not super painful, but, you know, I just can't even understand why anybody thinks this makes sense. Right? That's not super severe, but it is super painful. He just said. It just blows my mind.
Painful, but yes, there.
Effect.
Yeah, but some of that is not dramatic, where, you know, it's just, you know, super painful. But yes, there, we need to make sure there's not severe side effects.
Cool. So it'll be super painful, though. That sounds fun. Let's give it to our children. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, and I agree. I said this a long time ago. There's something about the way, and it's just, I mean, this is not even like a news point. It's just my opinion. Like, the way he moves his hands just creeps me out. I don't know why. And I'm, you know, just, that's something I would only say, you know, between you and us, though. You know, it's just us and here quietly in this corner. But, you know, it's just weird. I mean, the way that it's, I don't know, it's odd. But that is crazy. By the way, recognize he never answered the question. Is this dangerous? Well, you know, FDA, and they, if they're not pressured, they'll do their best to look into this. And they got lots of them. And there's this one, there's that one, and they've got this. And, you know, that one was pretty high. And they give these doses and it's really painful. And it, hello? Is anybody paying attention? More than 4.6 million shots have been given from this very alarming, I should say, alarmingly rushed experimental injection. I keep remembering, I don't want to say vaccine anymore. And this is not a vaccine. This is a rushed experimental injection. That's what we should all be saying from now forward. This is not a vaccine. It's a rushed experimental injection. That's what this is. And that's what I'm going to call it in every single sense, unless I forget, because it is not a vaccine. Look at this, 4.6 million doses, which, by the way, means that's not half. These people have another one coming. That's half of what their dose is supposed to be. 2.13 million just in the United States. Half of the vaccines in these 10 countries, or excuse me, it's 16 countries now. I thought it said 10 earlier. I mean, that's almost half of all of the, I mean, that's, I would say, arguably most of the ones in the world. Right, these are the 16 countries that are part of this and pushing this and driving this agenda. So of these 16 countries, 4.6 million, 2.13 million doses of that 4.6 million has gone to the United States. And interestingly enough, I find it kind of, excuse me, got the hiccups all of a sudden, find it odd that it seems that the ones with the most aren't necessarily the ones you would expect. Right? I mean, it looks like, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota seem to be the ones with the most so far. West Virginia, Alaska. But look at California. Look at New York. These are the places that are screaming about this and don't seem to be the ones that are giving it the most. Now, that could be because the people there don't want it, despite what they try to sell you on. But understand, this is alarming to me. This is going to continue to increase. They're going to continue to give it, despite it still technically being in testing phase. Which, by the way, means, as that one doctor pointed out, that these people are not being informed that they're part of a test. They're not giving informed consent. They're not letting them know that they're part of a biomedical test. That's what this is. But who cares? Because what does informed consent have to do in a country that doesn't care about your rights? Well, for all those that kept saying, don't worry, though, it's going to go back to normal, even though it won't stop transmission, and even though we know that it's not going to stop anything, really, other than being able to put a virtue signaling sticker on yourself and say, I did it. But it'll just go back to normal, though, right? Isn't that the point? Isn't it going to go back to normal once we all do what we're told? Except that was never in the cards. It was never the plan, and they've never done it before, and they won't do it now. They take power and they hold it until you force it out of their hands. Travel insurers likely to make vaccine a requirement. So now we're talking about restaurants, airplanes, buses, travel in general, but now we're talking about insuring yourself to travel. So you see how this is going to continue to flesh out? This is going to be the control mechanism, the control network, just like I said when this first started, just like I said a month in, just like I said 2 months in, just like I said 6 months in, and just like I'm still saying now. And just like they said was stupid and crazy and ridiculous every single time I said it, and it's literally being built around you as we speak. But I'm crazy. Of course. Another sector of the travel industry has signaled that it could mandate vaccination against coronavirus. Yes, it hasn't happened yet, but if any of the past situations are any indication of what will happen, then it's going to. Just like we already have Singapore Airlines already rolling this out. It is not a hypothetical conspiracy theory. But they will mandate vaccination against coronavirus. Not testing to prove you don't have it, but mandate a vaccine to provide services to travelers, according to the report that notes insurers may demand to see proof of vaccination before covering those wishing to go on holiday. So ask yourself why a negative test wouldn't count, right? Why couldn't I just say, see, look, I got my test and I don't have it? Ah, because you may catch it later, or it may be a false positive that we won't want to talk about. In any case, it clearly shows you that the vaccine is what they're going to shift into being the only verifiable thing going forward. And then you have to get it again next year and get your card again because we know it changes and mutates. And whatever excuse they want to use, it'll just so happen to mutate right before the next vaccine season. Perfectly. Perfectly a year later. Perfect. Everyone get it again. The International Travel and Health Insurance Journal reports that if the EU obliges travelers to vaccinate, travel insurance providers may refuse to cover those who decline to have a vaccination. Isn't that funny how it works? The report notes that the European Union has previously indicated that travelers and anyone applying for a visa could be mandated to get the vaccine in order to enter and move between EU countries. So consider that like moving between states inside the United States. This is literally happening, guys. And they're going to make sure that this is part of it. They're telling you that right now. The question is whether or not you're paying attention. Here is Spain saying, well, not only are we going to make sure this happens, but we're going to take a list of people who refuse COVID-19 vaccinations. Yeah, because making lists of people that don't do what they're told has always worked out so well. In Spain, at least, government bureaucrats are fighting back as the health minister, Salvador Illa, I believe that's his name, warned the country would set up a registry for everybody who refuses the vaccine. A registry. I mean, realize right now that there's massive number of recorded registry of people in the United States who challenge the narrative, uncomfortable dissidents that speak the truth, right? This is people that are on that list for when the continuity of government plan comes into action. Reagan talked about this, and we know this is what I argue essentially really created the deep state as we know it today, creating a shadow side, a simultaneous parallel government that they created under the guise of continuity of government that just never went away. That's what happened. But the point is that we're talking about creating a scenario where people like me are on lists because we're the dangerous ones when it comes to controlling everything, right? When they pretend that their government and the continuity of that government is at risk, they're going to round up people like us and make sure we can't speak out. And that's not my opinion. That's what was listed during the Reagan administration. That's what they documented as that was the plan. And if they had tens and hundreds of thousands of names then, imagine how many names they have now. So as their Spain is taking lists of all the people that refuse to take this, just realize that it will not lead to a positive outcome. It says, quote, what will be done is a registry, which will be shared with our European partners. Okay, so other places will get to see whether or not they're doing this. Of those people who have been offered it and have simply rejected it. Well, here's an easy example, an easy solution. Don't even go out to get in a situation where you might be offered it. Don't answer your door when they come around. Don't ever get in the situation where you have to turn it down. Quote, it is not a document which will be made public and it will be done with the utmost respect for the data protection, which means absolutely nothing. Won't be made public, as I always tell you, means we're not going to show your neighbor, which nobody cares about that. Or some do, but the point is, people who talk about privacy aren't worried about their neighbors and friends. They're worried about the government, but they always play this sidestep. What they're saying right there means we're going to share it with everybody who is anybody that we care about, but we just won't allow the general public to see it. It won't be posted on Facebook, don't worry. That's what they mean. The utmost respect for data protection. What is data protection? What does that even mean? They're protecting your data. Sure, they'll protect it right in front of themselves. They'll protect it right inside their own hard drives, and they'll make sure that they keep it. Right? I mean, that's protecting it for you as they catalog what you do and what they'll decide to do later. He added that the registry would not be made public or delivered to employers, which begs the question, why else would the government keep a database on that information? We know why. Because that information will be later used against you. You're a dissident, your social credit score, and on where we can see this going in the technocratic world they're building. The French press agency report on the health minister's remarks wasn't exactly clear about the motive, which leads us to believe that it's just another tactic by the Spanish government, which has sworn up and down, like other European countries or governments, that they will not make vaccinations mandatory. But they're sure as hell trying to drive it in. But here's something closer to home for the United States. 12,000 students in New York City are banned from school for not consenting to random medical testing. You remember when that used to mean something? Do you remember back when that was a big deal, when you weren't, you know, that was your medical freedom, medical tyranny? Remember all these discussions were being had? Well, now it all just went out the door because you're in danger because COVID. So too did 100,000 other things that we used to care about. But now because fear, because of hyped up things that government said, we're all scared and we don't care about any other rights. We don't care about polluting the planet. We don't care about about women being in dangerous situations with men in mass. I mean, there's 100 things we could point to that these people that were screaming about how important this was seemingly don't care at all anymore unless it has to do with COVID-19. As I pointed out in the previous show, do you realize that I think it was something like 16 million. I don't want to misquote it now. There was an obscene amount of masks and gloves that are used every month. People were warning about this in March. Imagine where we are right now. All these people that were screaming about climate change and the war of the planet and all these things that, you know, and the pollution of the planet is something we should care about. Where are they now? I argue those are the people that are using 15 masks a day right now, using gloves every 10 seconds and throwing them in the trash can, which end up in the ocean. And that is hurting the planet in an exponential fashion, more than we've ever seen. Isn't that funny? Where are all these new green revolution technocratic, you know, build back better? Isn't that what? Apparently not. It's just unbelievable that one of the other points I made is that we're seeing discussions of, you know, I keep seeing videos of men chasing after women and like accosting them and saying, why aren't you wearing a mask? What are you doing? You don't realize that would have been a huge deal before all of this. During the Me Too movement, that would have been a huge deal. But why? Why don't women care now? Well, because she's not wearing a mask, so she's a bad person. You're a hypocrite. You're a disgusting hypocrite if you just dropped something you cared about before because COVID. Today, in how far can your rights be infringed upon before people start pushing back news, I like that, about 12,000 New York City students are being prevented from attending in-person learning because their parents, quote, failed to sign consent forms for weekly random testing. Now, we're talking DNA. We're talking the kind of test that you imagine for COVID, the kind that allows them to get your DNA, the kind that is wildly invasive, that used to be a violation of your constitutional rights, and by the way, still completely is, but they just no longer care about your constitutional rights. And the truth is they never really did, but now they have a justification they think is useful enough to completely circumvent them. And clearly it seems to work to some degree. So they said, you can't go to this school unless you agree to be randomly medically tested. That's tyranny. That's medical tyranny. The students are part of a large group of 190,000 preschool through elementary students who returned to classrooms in December. It says Nathaniel Steyer, a spokesman for the City Department of Education, said, quote, due to the extensive efforts of our staff, 91% of students who need a consent form have one on file. Students without consent forms and who do not have approved exemptions are transitioned to remote instruction. What if they can't do that? What if they don't have a computer? What if their parents can't stay home? What if there's no one to watch them? What if there's any of a number of things that this is not fair for people and you're putting them? I mean, this is under the assumption that all of these people have the wherewithal and the things they need to be able to accomplish this. I can promise you that a huge portion of them do not have that ability. Who cares, though? Wait, here's another example. What happened to caring about children's education? Wasn't that the only thing we cared about? Oh, but not when COVID's here. Oh, these dirty children won't agree to be tested when we want them to. So screw them. Force them home or they will get an education that will not be what they should be getting. If it ever is, by the way, from this Prussian-based propaganda system. And I said Prussian with a P, so we understand what we're talking about here, because that's what this is based on. Our school modeling is based on a Prussian school system that's designed to create obedient workers. Look it up. Shocking that we're here, right? This is just disgusting, right? But this is going to continue to happen. This is one step toward more than testing. Next, it'll be vaccine cards. Next, you can't go to school without it. On and on and on. But just like always, we were crazy the whole time and it's not true. Now, this is something I want to include just because it's what we've already been pointing to. This is not news. If you watch this channel, you knew this months ago. But now, because the WHO chief scientist says it, even Zero Hedge, actually, I maybe was slightly mean about it, but I was frustrated this morning. Here's what they tweeted. WHO, no evidence to be confident shots prevent transmission. Wait, what? Really? I retweeted it. I said, why wait what? Half the independent media has been screaming about this for months. Really? Like, what? Zero Hedge is becoming increasingly mainstream for me lately, and it's frustrating. But the point is, this is not news. The data's been there for months. And if you're only just being, oh my God, this is crazy, now ask yourself why you're not paying attention. Ask yourself why you're only caring about something when it comes out through mainstream sources. Once again, the WHO has stepped in to offer some confusing comments about the coronavirus vaccine, warning that there is, quote, no evidence to be confident that shots, these vaccines, prevent transmission. And that's been stated by Pfizer, by Moderna, by the people making these things. And that people who received the vaccine should continue wearing masks and following all social distancing travel guidelines. And that was always the point. You know what that means? What that translates to? Not going back to normal after the vaccine. The comments were made by WHO chief scientist Soima Swaminathan, terrible try, during what happens to have been a virtual press conference held Monday. The doctor went on to explain that there's no evidence to suggest that those who have been vaccinated wouldn't be a risk if they traveled to a foreign country, meaning the vaccine does not do what the vast majority of people thought that it would, and still probably don't know that this is the case. It says, with relatively low COVID rates. But who cares about that? Pandemic, though. At this point, it might be helpful for the WHO to produce some kind of clarification that either offers substantially more context to explain this remark. But we suspect that they won't. Yeah, I do too. But just in case you want to argue that this didn't really happen, here is the video for yourself.
At the moment, I don't believe we have the evidence on any of the vaccines to be confident that it's going to prevent people from actually getting the infection and therefore being able to pass it on.
By the way, I just love watching these, you know, the leaders of the world just like irritatingly fumble through using Zoom today. Like technology? Just not necessarily her, but you know, the echoes and people getting caught behind the screen and, you know, these geriatric congressmen barely being able to work their computers. Just, you know, it's embarrassing is what it is. Because these people, just because they're there, are not necessarily the people who should be leading us, is my point. They're there because they're there by because of plenty of other things that literally have nothing to do with whether they care about you, whether they believe in this country, and whether they want to actually do something good for their constituents. The point is, it's very frustrating to continue to see that. Anyway, but that is incredible that this is one that it's suddenly breaking news because it's been stated by somebody that, and by the way, she's just repeating what has clearly been documented for months now that they never, and by the way, I said this when I first started talking about these safety trials. That was months ago. They were never designed to stop transmission. That's very clearly listed, but only a few people cared to dive into the actual documentation and say, hey, look, they didn't even say they're going to stop this or they're not even trying to stop that. Why? Because they didn't. And this is directly from Tal Zaks, who is the CEO, I believe, or one of the leaders in regard to Moderna. He himself stated that the reason we didn't do it is because we were not funded to that degree. That if we want that, we need a larger trial. And if you want a larger trial, you should be asking the people funding this, which is, guess what? Your government. So your government chose not to pay for what they needed to find out the truth. Period. Now, understand that we're also talking about plenty of other things, like the efficacy of how these things work, but they didn't even set out to try to accomplish seeing whether it stops transmission. They didn't pay for it. They could have. And I argue that likely wouldn't have even taken that exponentially more time than we're seeing. It still would have been rushed, but they didn't even care to look. And I argue it's because they didn't want to. So if this won't stop transmission, so that means that you can still spread it to somebody like your grandma, and that grandma can still, or that if you get your grandma gets the vaccine, she can still catch it, and so can you, assuming it's real at all, then why do you take it? And then realizing, as we keep pointing out, that if you're under 60 with no comorbidities, you basically have no chance of getting sick, let alone dying from it. Why are you taking this? Why are you taking this rushed experimental injection that won't stop transmission, that won't stop you from catching it, that from something that you're not really at risk of? Why are you doing it? I just don't know. Here's 8 German care home employees who were jabbed with apparently 5 times the Pfizer vaccine dose. 4 of them were hospitalized with, guess what, COVID-like symptoms. Isn't that funny? So I want to know what this means. I want to understand why in the world anybody could justify giving 5 times the amount to somebody. Maybe because they were being tested on, like this whole thing is. Like any number of these different scenarios are, where they're doing this differently here and doing this differently over there, or giving them 5 times in this location or giving them a smaller one over here. There's a lot of that happening. And you could chalk it up to incompetence, which is what they always hope you do, or you could chalk it up to what it seems like to me, which is they're testing on us, which is what this whole thing is. 8 nursing home workers in Stralsund received 5 times the normal dose. 5 times the normal dose of a Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine. Now imagine the side effects that's why all of them were hospitalized. Think about how serious, there's severe side effects happening with a lot of people now, as you just heard Dr. Lyons-Wheeler point out, 21%. I argue that's probably on the low, and that's severe. So imagine getting 5 times the amount, sending half of them to the hospital with COVID-19 symptoms. But the company insists the mega dose is safe. How does that even make sense? If 5 times is safe, why are we only getting a fifth of what everybody? I mean, that's the same thing as arguing that guy who obviously didn't get the vaccine on live TV. Well, we gave him another one later in the day because it's totally safe. Yeah, that makes sense. We totally gave it to him, but we went and gave him another one anyway, just because. By the way, one that wasn't on video. So why would we trust you saying you gave him another one? It's just, the whole thing's just so dumb. A group of care home employees in the northeastern town was accidentally, they say, dosed with 5 times the prescribed amount. How in the world is that accidental? Do you realize how much more 5 times is? There's no way these people would not realize that there was something amiss unless they were told to do this or involved in something. These are just hypothetical possibilities. 5 times the amount prescribed by Pfizer and BioNTech. It says the first day Germany began vaccinating healthcare workers and nursing home residents against the virus. The first day this happened, 8 employees received 5 times the 30 microgram MCG dose of the jab. 5 times, which was recently christened. I don't know what that means. I read this earlier. I don't know why they didn't pop out at me. That looks like that's interesting. 8 employees received 5 times the jab, which was recently christened common. That's interesting. I'm not sure. Anyone in the chat want to chime in on that? I think it looks like somebody's name, maybe. 4 of those were hospitalized as a precautionary measure. Of course. Yeah, sure. This is what they would say if the person was near death. But they want to make it sound like they want you to infer from that, oh, well, that means that it wasn't serious, but they're doing it just in case. Sounds pretty serious to me. After experiencing flu-like and COVID-like symptoms. That seems really relevant to me, that they're getting this, symptom-wise, after getting the vaccine, which seems to be the opposite of what they swear up and down would happen. Quote, I deeply regret this incident, expressing hope that those affected suffer no serious side effects. Didn't they just say that they guarantee it's not dangerous, but this guy's going, God, I'm so sorry, I hope they don't die. Nobody's telling you the truth, guys. Nobody. They're all in this for some other agenda right now. While the prescribed dose for, yeah, it's for this individual, I'm assuming, or the location, is just 30. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what it is. It's the drug we're talking about. Was it listed up top? Doesn't look like it. But this is the drug, I believe, we're talking about. So it says, while the prescribed dose is only 30 mcg. A spokeswoman for BioNTech insisted researchers had experimented with increased dosages during clinical trials and found doses as much as 100 mcg were tolerated without serious consequences. So that's some, why it's a weird thing to insist. Well, we tested very, it seems like you're trying to justify what happened. Does that mean you're involved and you know what's going on? I mean, it's a weird thing to say. But here's the point, even on top of that. However, five times the normal dose would in fact be 150 mcg. Half again as much as what she's claiming was tested. And that's what they're claiming is the overdose amount. And it's not clear if any of the clinical trials had tested on such higher doses. What happened here? The overdosed group consisted of seven women and one man, all aged between 38 and 54. The vaccine is being administered to elderly nursing home residents and employees of at such facilities first, which is what always happens. They argue that it's because we need to keep everyone safe and they're the ones being tested on. Happens all that's either the military or first responders every time. With a rollout for the general population to begin next year. It says the arrival of pharmaceutical salvation has already encountered obstacles, however, with some districts rejecting their vaccine shipments on the suspicion that they had not been kept under ultra-cold temperatures. Interesting, which is required to retain safety and effectiveness, so we're told. I've heard different state claims on that from doctors who say that this is not actually the case, but I'm not going to get into that today. But here's the point. So they've been turned down, saying they weren't held properly. Seven districts of Bavaria opted to return 1,000 shots after the cold boxes in which they arrived registered internal temperatures about to 15 degrees Celsius. So for those not in these areas, way higher than it should be. Dismissing BioNTech's claim that the comparatively lukewarm vaccine shipment was, quote, probably okay. What? I mean, I almost fell out of my chair. So look, we're talking about a company right now that has rushed this out, that this has not been tested properly, that has never been successfully done before. And they say it has to be kept below 70 degrees, saying that Iran might sabotage this process. And here they are sending it and it's not even doing, and they're not doing what they're supposed to. And then when they send it back and say, this isn't right, they go, well, that's probably okay. Does that sound scientific? That sounds like a company who has a profit motive, who is selling a product. That's what that sounds like. But sure, let's trust them to make sure that we're all safe, like they've failed on. More times than I can count. $4 billion. Over $1 billion with over 26 records of them lying about safety records in the past. But sure, let's trust them now, because that totally makes sense. Probably okay. I mean, whether you want, this could be an experiment right here, testing on them to see if they'll take it, or because they already failed in that process and said, we'll just send it to Bavaria because they won't know. Or this happens every time. Africa is constantly abused in this way. Constantly. I just cannot believe that this is what they're arguing. This is normal. That's weird. Oh, I see what happened. I accidentally opened that other one. But it's, to finish off, it says medical authorities also discovered on Monday that while vaccine containers were supposed to carry five doses, the vials of this vaccine actually included closer to six. My God. An anomaly dismissed as intentional slight overfill by the manufacturer. However, the EU health officials warned that, quote, under no circumstances were vaccine leftovers from multiple containers meant to be mixed. And how long until that happens, because they're trying to cut costs and because they don't want to waste it and because we're all in danger. How long until you think that happens? How long until you think it's already happened? That doesn't make sense, but you get the point. Yeah, we're going to give them extra because it was intentional, though. And you're not allowed to use it, though. I mean, this is either an effort to intentionally make sure that something weird happens so they can pretend it wasn't their fault when bad things happen, or this is just incompetence, malfeasance, negligence. It's unbelievable. So they're sending them there in lukewarm boxes when they're supposed to be below 70 degrees. You're sending them there with too much in the vials and telling them they can't use the overflow. This is gross. I mean, everything about this seems like they're rushing and not doing things properly. Why? Because that's exactly what's happening. Or were being tested on. Probably both. No, this is just this article pointing to the same thing. I accidentally clicked it open for some reason. But continuing forward, something that really, really seems alarming to me, and it just shows you that this is what's already been started by Trump's administration, that's already continuing, contact tracing, and all these things that are already happening are going to be driven forward, continue. I mean, I can already promise you what's going to happen is that Biden is going to continue what's already happening. Guarantee you that. And yes, that means it's going to get worse because he's going to continue it. But that's because it gets worse, people are going to point and say, see, Biden, it wasn't Trump. But it was because we're here because of Trump, because we're here because of the current administration. And not just Trump. We're here because of our government. We're here because of our government, right and left. That's the point. Whether you believe Trump was tricked or whether he was trying and he failed, or I don't care what you want to think. I don't care about any of that. We're here because our government put us here. However you want to describe what that means. So when Biden continues it, our government is continuing the plan. So it doesn't matter. So just because it gets worse, which I guarantee it would, even if Trump was here, it doesn't mean that the other one wasn't responsible. Our government led us here. And now, to add to the growing fear of what's going to continue, based on the fear about something that's not actually putting you in danger, Biden's COVID advisor urges more genomic surveillance necessary to stop mutant COVID strains. Dr. Fauci and others have been in press constantly warning that the situation is on track to worsen. Of course it is. Because you're all in danger, right? It's only going to get worse. Everything's going to get worse. And I'm sure they'll make sure that happens. The numbers will reflect it, I'm sure. The question is whether it's actually happening. And on Monday, he was joined by Dr. Celine Grounder, a clinical assistant professor of medicine and infectious diseases at NYU's Grossman School of Medicine and member of Biden's COVID task force, who reiterated Dr. Fauci's warnings about already overwhelmed hospitals being poorly equipped to handle the next wave of patients. Right. But, you know, the idea of these already overwhelmed hospitals have already been called into question. Different discussion, but I don't buy it for a second for a lot of reasons that are very easily shown. But it says again, that's not a fact. Look it up for yourself. I constantly give my opinion just like anybody anywhere would. It's frustrating that giving your opinion is a reason that things get destroyed and deleted and removed today. But who cares? I will never, ever self-censor. I made a promise to you guys a long time ago. One, we shouldn't have to. And you know what? It may turn out to prove to be the wrong choice. We'll see. But I argue my integrity will be intact, and I will never self-censor or, you know, mince my words because we're afraid of the censors. Let them censor me. Let them expose their hand by censoring scientific data. While the mainstream focused on remarks about President Biden likely invoking the Defense Production Act, thank you for that, Trump, to try to ensure, I'm kind of being facetious, but this is something that he already began, which is already happening, and this is something that Biden, I guarantee, it's the same plan, guys. It's the same plan. It's the same thing. This is martial law from a multiple, this is different angles of martial law. Defense Production Act, I mean, all these different things are different ways to put us on forms of martial law. We are under government and military control right now. I don't know why we can't see that in every sense of the word. Right now, your laws, your constitutional rights, none of this matter. Just because, and by the way, we do have locations with military in the streets, but just because we don't have military everywhere marching through the streets does not mean we're on a lockdown form of soft martial law. That's what happens. That's what's happening. It's called the boiling frog, the totalitarian tiptoe. It's a classic concept. If they came out tomorrow and just flipped the full-blown martial law switch, people would revolt. But if they continue to slowly step it forward, each time giving you a justification for why it's logical and allow the people who want to scream on their behalf to scream the loudest on Twitter while censoring everybody else, they can pretend that they have it. And that people will go along with it because they think that they're the minority. It's all about propaganda and control of the narrative, control of our perception of the narrative. But he's going to do this to try to ensure that the U.S. catches up on its lofty vaccination targets. Good. So the thing that most people don't want, you're going to declare or invoke a form of martial law in regard to production to make sure we reach those goals of what most people don't want, right? This, you're acting as if everybody thinks the way, nobody wants this thing. At least half of this country doesn't. There's no need to invoke the Defense Production Act, but they're going to do it anyway because it's not really about what they're saying. Dr. Grounder added an offhand line about the need for using genomic surveillance to track mutations like the one, by the way, that we're not is seemingly no more, if it's even really there, no more dangerous than the other thing based on the facts. But it says we're also going to see an increase in genomic surveillance, which is where you track the changes in virus genetic materials. And remind me how you do that again. Oh, yeah. Through your body, through your genes and through what's happening in your body. We can do that. We have technology. We just chose not to spend the money on public health surveillance. And there's also a very sticky situation there where you're publicly surveilling people's medical records and health and internal situation. You know, that's the point. It comes down to DNA and comes down to invasive things that we shouldn't have. Like, I mean, I understand that this is something that is a very big deal. Remember when 23andMe and these other things were caught for harvesting your DNA for I would say nefarious purposes, but at the very least for things that weren't just about finding out who your history was. Remember that? Well, guess what? I mean, I think I might even have that still right here. These companies that were behind that, right? The companies that were behind the MyHeritage and 23andMe, right? These are the companies that are now working on your tests for COVID-19. I might talk about this in the future. There was an interesting thread right here that this was shared on Twitter. Damn, of course it's going to freeze on me. There's an interesting thread that goes through this that I'm probably going to dig into more tomorrow that talks about this, that says that that ultimately this test could be, at the very least, something that is more about achieving the goal they were trying to achieve before this. Just like every other aspect, it was something they were trying to do before, DNA grabs, and COVID is their excuse to continue to push it forward, or however you want to look at it. But I find it alarming that the same entities that were involved with that scandalous situation are now involved with your COVID testing program. There's every reason that should be alarming. That's just a little unbelievable, to be honest, why nobody cares about that. But so let's jump forward to genomic surveillance and allow these companies to have access to all this stuff. Just, you know, if it was weird and scary when we found out they're doing it before, why is this now suddenly okay? It says offering up some math to demonstrate why the U.S. needs to dramatically ramp up its pace of vaccinations if it wants to reach whatever the new herd immunity threshold is. You know, whatever they decide to say it is tomorrow. And of course, it's all about you traveling on the holidays. That's what she said. It's your fault, America. You didn't do what you were told. You didn't do what your mommy daddy government said. And so it's your fault. So you need to be punished. Quote, you will see him invoking the Defense Production Act, she says. The idea there is to make sure the PPE, the things that are aggressively polluting our planet, despite these very people saying that's one of the most important things happening right now. Isn't that funny? The test capacity and the raw materials for the vaccines are produced in adequate supply. Of course. And has nothing to do with the massive gold rush that's happening right now with those very things. Of course not. But here's what it says in regard to the CDC, in regard to what genomic surveillance is. Public health surveillance has been defined as the ongoing systematic collection, analysis, and interpretation of data closely integrated with the dissemination of these data to the public health practitioners, clinicians, and policymakers responsible for preventing and controlling disease injury, which, you know, just casually leaves out what that data is, such as your DNA and, you know, personal medical information that gets disseminated down to politicians. Cool. Now it says more precision and surveillance is now needed as new genetic tests become available in clinical research and practice. You know, the tests that are now gathering up your DNA. It says, as of June 19, 2017, the NIH maintained genetic testing registry, meaning a list they keep of all the DNA and different things, listed 49,817 tests. That's it. 10,745 conditions. So it says, over time, this will allow a more precise tracking of population incidence, morbidity and mortality, variations in subpopulations, and gaps in implementation of evidence-based interventions, as well as just a complete mapping of everything that we are that they can probably try to manipulate and control. In addition, integrating genetic information, including simple family history and national surveys and surveillance systems, will allow tracking of behavioral risk factors and health interventions. At the end of the day, these interventions are the kind of things that they're going to say they're going to step in and do when they decide we're about to get sick, which is the whole narrative in regard to medical pre-crime that they're obviously pushing. The idea that they need to create things that can alarm them about when it's about to happen. This is just another aspect of that, in my opinion, but there's so much more to this that I'm not going to get into now. But to finish off this last part, I want to just add on a small foreign policy note, the U.S. government is literally demanding that Iran pay for their vaccines through U.S. banks. This has got to be one of the stupidest on its face hypocritical things I've ever seen. They're telling Iran that they can't do anything, that your money, we're going to seize it, where you can't send oil, you can't sell oil, we're going to, because you're terrorists. But we won't approve any of that. We're just going to say it and then steal your money and use it for ourselves because we're good guys. But the point is that when it comes to vaccines, they're saying, but no, you have to pay us though. Iran's rightly worried they're just going to take the money, which is, I almost guarantee what's going to happen. But the how dumb it is that they're arguing that they can't do any of it unless they go through U.S. banks while they're sanctioning them for literally doing that in other circumstances. Or rather in regard to their U.S. interest through the U.S. dollar in any way, because this is how they control all this. And so if they get them buying it through U.S. banks, they can then control them more so. They can control the vaccine program. They can control the flow of vaccines. They can control everything in that regard, because all they have to do is flip the switch, seize it, shut it down, put sanctions on it. And suddenly their whole program that's relying on that is not happening. They're not going to do this unless they have to. But listen to what this says. I mean, this just shows you what a tyrant this government is. They're irrational. There's nothing about this is law or order or facts or science or anything. What about the people that need the vaccines? What about the individuals in this country? Now, look, you know my opinion on vaccines. I'm not arguing they should. I'm just arguing from the point of their argument, right? They believe this is a good thing, or some people do. So you're literally saying we're going to deprive sick people of what they need unless they do what we say. That's what that says. But don't forget, these are the good guys, everyone. On Saturday, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani said the U.S. is demanding Iran's payment for the coronavirus vaccine to go through U.S. banks. Rouhani fears the U.S. would just take the money. Why would he fear that? Because they've literally done it, I mean, in every possible way. They just steal what they have in every chance they get. The same thing they're doing from Venezuela. They just seized all their gold. They just seized the money in England's bank. They seize whatever they want under the guise that they're bad guys because we say they're bad guys. That's just pirates. Those are thugs. Since the Trump administration reimposed sanctions on Iran in 2018 and every other moment in between there and before, ordinary Iranians have faced medical shortages as a result. Now understand, regardless of what words they say, that has happened. Period. Iranians have faced dramatic shortages in medical equipment and medicines because of the sanctions. Doesn't matter when they say that's not what we're doing them for. We have medical exemption. It doesn't matter. It's not happening. These people are so afraid because they know the U.S. government's going to attack them anyway, because they already have, that they won't even sell them medicine because they know they're going to get between the U.S. government and Iran. In October, the U.S. imposed new sanctions that effectively blacklisted Iran's financial sector. Okay, exactly. The October sanctions exacerbated medical shortages. Now, again, think about how crazy it is that they're saying we're not attacking medicine, but how do you think they pay for that? Making it even more difficult for Iranians to buy vital medicines like insulin, which you can link to this and find that it's a horrible story about what's really going on. Their only argument is that the Iranian government only takes this money and enriches themselves. You mean exactly like what just happened in the U.S.? You mean literally what just happened, where $6 trillion flew out of our pockets and went to the big businesses in the government, and we're barely getting a $2,000 check, if that even actually happens? Don't forget, my family still has not gotten the first one. But don't worry, they're fighting for you. It's disgusting. Talk about enriching yourselves. You just robbed the American people and did a 2008 times 10. Paid off all the big businesses and let them lay off their employees. I mean, this is gross. And they're the bad ones that are doing that. I mean, I'm not even saying they're not. What I'm saying is it's disgusting to see a government that's doing it more than anyone I can see on the planet pointing to anybody else and saying, you're doing the thing that we're doing. And then forcing them to go through you as if you're the righteous one protecting everybody. The U.S. claims the sanctions have exemptions for humanitarian goods, which they always say, but the sanctions discourage banks from processing any transaction with Iran. Exactly. So the U.S. basically goes, yeah, bring them in if you want. Wink, wink. If you do, we're going to threaten you. And they don't, because they know they're being truthful, that they will go after anybody, including honest businessmen, if they do what they say they're not supposed to do. Because that's what good guys do, right? Rouhani believes the U.S. will seize any Iranian assets, even money for vaccine payments, and they will. They've showed that. Who can trust people like you, he says. You've stolen our money everywhere you found it. Rouhani said Iran wants to transfer its money from an unnamed country to buy the vaccine. He explained that the U.S. Treasury's Office and Foreign Assets Control initially said that it didn't have a problem. Why? Because they knew of the optics. They knew it would look really gross for them to abuse the situation while they're screaming everywhere else that the pandemic gives them reason to do crazy things they've never done before. But not in this case, right? We're all in danger, but Iran, screw you. You have to pay us. That's why they didn't do it. But now it's happening because they just don't care. Why is it illegal for Iran to buy a vaccine from some other country? It's not. They want to profit from it. They want to control the money. And of course, they want to control the process of it going forward and probably sabotage it to make Iran look like they did something wrong. But they said they didn't have a problem with it initially with the transfer of funds. But it said later that the money had to first pass through U.S. banks before being transacted. Why would that even make sense? It's control, guys. Rouhani said the vaccine purchase, quote, could be more costly and be delayed, but it will certainly happen. Going through the U.S., they mean Iran is working to develop its own vaccine and is currently looking for volunteers to begin in trials. It's just gross how we continue to see how clearly our governments are doing horrible things around the world, even now. And of course, to finish off here, a couple of small examples, a sort of a microcosm of that larger macrocosm of this horrible situation of our government and the enforcement arm of them. We are seeing some of the most horrifying examples of tyranny, of fascism, of control that has nothing to do with actual health. It's about control. It's about showing that you're part of that control. Here's an example of something horrible in regard to masks. God, I just can't even believe this is possible. Here's an article that Peter shared. Woman born without hands, kicked out of a bookstore for not wearing a mask. Please, guys, let me know how in the world she'd put that mask on. I guess you're just assuming that she, you know, it's her fault. You're a bad person for not virtue signaling something that's not actually protecting you in a situation where you're not really at risk. But because you don't have hands, we're going to discriminate against you. Now, another example of how things that used to be important don't count anymore. What happened to discrimination? That used to be one of the biggest no-no topics. You can't even hint at discriminating somebody without getting called out on Twitter for 30 years. Now, women who without hands can get pushed out of stores because they don't have hands. Now, you could pretend it's because she doesn't have a mask. The argument is because she doesn't have the ability to put it on. And maybe doesn't want some stranger putting something on her mouth. In any case, it's because she doesn't have hands. That's what it boils down to. Here's another gross situation. The same thing. I argue this one is far worse because of the way that they handled this. This is a family that went to try to see a movie. AMC, by the way, in case you want to boycott something, they went to go see a movie. I mean, think about how crazy it is. At a time when they're probably dying, they're struggling. I bet you they're about to go under because people aren't. I mean, look, I used to go to see movies with my family religiously. We would go see movies like every week. I haven't seen one since it started, not because I don't want to, but because I think the rest of them are reluctant and so on, and I'm not going to pressure them, and I'm not going to go by myself because that's not very fun. So the point is that they're probably drowning in debt right now. But this guy literally kicked out an entire family. All of the other ones were wearing masks other than her, a disabled, nonverbal child who cannot wear a face mask, and they kicked her out anyway. The manager called the police and had the entire family removed. Here's the whole video. I'm not going to play it for you. It's 28 minutes long. I watched the whole thing. It's sick. It's disgusting. This guy is the manager. That guy is probably going to have a lawsuit on his hands. Because this cop... Now, I got to be honest, as much as I grossly disagree with the way the cop handled it, I do think that he handled it better than I've seen most cops ever handle this. Because the way he described this sort of did make sense. But I aggressively disagree with him, though. I hope that's very clear. But the way he describes it is not just the simple, we're telling you to do this, listen, because I'm in charge kind of cop narrative that we always see. What he's basically saying is that from a civil level, the company, any company, has the right to refuse service to anybody. And that's not to get into the discrimination aspects of it, which do change it. But what he's saying is if you have an issue with who they're refusing it to, such as a black person, such as a handicapped person, you can then take that up with your government, not the police. He's saying the police are not here to enforce these things. They're here to enforce the other things, such as people who are in the establishment that aren't allowed to be there. So if you, he said if he was discriminated against at his job, let's say, he wouldn't call the police, he would call a lawyer or call them and sue them, right? That's what he's saying. But this is just dumb, in my opinion, because the point is that they make clearly in this video is that, are you saying he's allowed to refuse service to black people? And the guy goes, that'll never happen. And it's like, what are you talking about? This is literally happening right now. That's who this person is. This young girl right here is a disabled person. And they're saying you can't come in because you can't wear a mask, but she's not, she cannot. And she has a medical exemption, as well as the fact that it's something that she refuses to do because of the way she's a nonverbal person that uses motions and so on, that she's not able to wear a mask, that they're saying, okay, well, you can't come in because you're disabled. That's what that means. Because like this, the analogy the girl made, which is great, is that she said, look, so if you're telling me that this business said that everyone who comes in has to wear roller skates, she's not able to wear roller skates. Are you telling me that that's justifiable, that they could say you can't come in because you're disabled? At the end of the day, this is constant. And this guy is willing to refuse service. Of course, they're having trouble playing the video. Gosh darn it, man. This is so crazy. We are in the middle of an Orwellian 1984 scenario, guys, where we're watching things just vanish in front of us. We're watching things get changed and altered and destroyed and rediscussed. And, you know, I mean, we are watching a 1984 scenario, guys. This is scary. I'm sure we will define the video elsewhere. I'm sure of it. It'll pop up. But this young girl was forced to leave at the hands of police, not physically, but they made them leave. And the whole family, every other one of the family members had masks on. But they all had to leave because that one girl wasn't able to. And this is about health. This is about rights. I mean, everything about this feels wrong. And before we were here, not a single person would have agreed with this anywhere. But now because COVID, common sense, right, guys? Just dumb. The whole thing. It's insulting. To finish. Oh, actually, no, that was something I'm going to get into later, I think. That was the test thing. But so, you know, to wrap it up here, guys, at the end of the day, I just don't know why any of you out there in any way are still going along with what they're telling us. That doesn't mean that I know everything about what's going on. I've never made that claim. The point is that we've seen beyond a doubt at this point that they are deceiving us. They're selling you lies. They're selling you misinformation. They're pushing things on us that suit their agendas from every possible angle. And yet we're still here saying, yeah, go ahead. Some of us out there, give me this thing that's not tested properly, that's already hurt a lot of people, that has been rushed out, that you've never successfully done before, that hasn't been tested on animals, that's, I mean, and on and on and on, that could hurt pregnant people, that may hurt your, create infertility. I mean, for crying out loud. But don't worry, though. It's totally safe, though. And if you question it all, you're an anti-science conspiracy theorist. It's never been this clear. So anybody out there that I think is still on the line that we're crazy, I mean, I think that says a lot about who they are. And whether that means that they're just so brainwashed they can't break free, doesn't mean we should give up on them. I will never give up on them. I will never give up on any person that I believe, anybody. I'll never give up on anybody, because the point is that we were all there, as I always say. At one point, we were all lost. My job is to fight for them, and I'll continue to do so. Thank you all for being here. Please help me do that. Help me get this in front of everybody. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's not essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
Stop, man. This shit ain't right, bro.
Stop.
This ain't right.
But what's happening now is unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people. Is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours was pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says,
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
You just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.